The meeting of Tuesday, May 25th, 2010, to order. And as the mayor, I have a little leeway on the way that I run a meeting, and so I'm going to run it just a little bit different tonight because of Veterans Day, for Memorial Day coming up on Monday. I have an announcement and some things I'd like to talk to regarding Memorial Day before we start the meeting. That for those who don't know, Memorial Day was founded quite a long time ago to remember those fallen in service to our country. Today I went to a Veterans Memorial meeting at the Board of Supervisors where our city has been honored to receive the official designation of the Veterans Memorial of the County for our Veterans Memorial at Atascadero Lake Park. So I'd like to read that to you. County of San Luis Obispo, California, resolution recognizing the Faces of Freedom Veterans Memorial in Atascadero as the first official Veterans Memorial for San Luis Obispo County. Whereas the Faces of Freedom Veterans Memorial, located at the Lake Park in Atascadero, is a world-class memorial honoring the veterans of San Luis Obispo County for their service in wars from World War I to the present for the United States of America. And whereas the building of the Faces of Freedom Veterans Memorial involved the efforts of many people and resources from throughout San Luis Obispo County, and whereas the Faces of Freedom Veterans Memorial will welcome visitors and tourists to Atascadero and the entire surrounding San Luis Obispo County community, and whereas the entire citizenry of San Luis Obispo County is united in their desire to properly recognize and honor the service and sacrifice of the veterans from the county of San Luis Obispo who served their country, and the Faces of Freedom Veterans Memorial represents such a tribute, and whereas the Faces of Freedom recognizes veterans from every city and community in San Luis Obispo County, and whereas many veterans organizations and citizens... Thank you. Councilmember Bayrou, would you lead us in the pledge to the flag? Thank you. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Kelly?
Here.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Bayrou?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Here.
And Mayor Fonzie?
Here.
All present.
Thank you, Annette. Now we go to the consent calendar. Are there any items that the council would like to remove or pull from the consent calendar? Is there anyone in the public that would like to pull an item from the consent calendar? Seeing none, I would like a motion for approval of the consent calendar.
We do approval agenda.
So moved.
Excuse me.
So moved.
Second.
And let's go ahead with the approval agenda. Is there anybody that would like to pull an item from the agenda or change the order of the agenda?
I move approval of agenda.
Second.
Moved by Councilmember O'Malley, second by Councilmember Clay. Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Bayrou?
Yes.
Mayor Fonzie?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you, Annette. And now for updates from the city manager.
I think we have to do roll call.
We got to do the vote
consent calendar.
Okay, where are we at?
Consent calendar.
It's consent calendar vote.
Can you have a motion?
Let's do the consent calendar vote. Excuse me, Annette. Let's go ahead with the roll call vote. We had a motion by Councilmember O'Malley and Councilmember Clay seconded, as I recall.
That'll work.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Bayrou?
Yes.
And Mayor Fonzie?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you, Annette. Now we'll go to the updates. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm excited to talk to you a little bit about updates for the historic City Hall. The environmental hazard mitigation contractor is in City Hall as we speak, testing for hazardous materials. The tests are going well, and we have encountered no surprises. Our construction management firm, Bernard's, are on site, and the project's quickly getting moving. They've already begun getting the portables ready for offices, organizing the bidding process, conducting a constructability review, and they're initiating an outreach program to assist our local people and local businesses to be involved in the project. In talking with Bernard's today, they're confident, in fact, they're bullish, that our budget is more than adequate for completing the entire project on schedule. The FEMA appeals are final. We are considering our legal and political opportunities, and we have another conference call next week to follow up on that. We'll keep you informed as information develops. On Colony Square, I hope everybody noticed today that the glulam beams were going up and that roof was going on. The project's moving around quickly. And just on a staff note, as we enter the summer season, I want to point out several of you have mentioned to me.
Push, it says. Okay. Could you start my time over, please? My name is David Broadwater. I'm from Atascadero. I would like to refer you to the two briefs that I've already sent you electronically on the proposal by the International Whaling Commission to lift the moratorium on commercial whaling. And I will submit these paper copies for the record, but you already have these. I want to ask the City Council tonight to put on its June 8th meeting a resolution opposing the resumption of commercial whaling. I'd like you to join the cities of Morro Bay and San Luis Obispo, the County Board of Supervisors, and others throughout California in opposing the International Whaling Commission and the Obama delegation to the IWC's lifting of the moratorium on commercial whaling. It seems that the rationale that the IWC is using for this is that the moratorium is broken because the rogue nations of Japan, Iceland, and Norway are using loopholes, and the slaughter is ongoing and escalating every year. A number of folks across the ideological spectrum are coming together to tell President Obama, NOAA, and Congress no on this proposal and saying yes to a strong moratorium without loopholes and enforcing it. I would just like to ask a couple of questions also to appeal beyond the worldwide implications of this on these species in the ocean. But why not do this? What would it hurt you to take a few minutes at your June 8th meeting and pass a resolution, copies of which you have from a number of the people already, and consider, as was mentioned at the last City Council, the economic benefits of tourism to this town of whale watching on the coast. So please, I strongly urge you to tonight to make a decision to put this on your June 8th meeting. This will be your last chance to act on this proposal to lift the moratorium on commercial whaling before the IWC begins its meeting June 17th. So please take action tonight and put it on your agenda for the 8th of June. It's imperative that we do this. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Broadwater.
It does go across ideological lines, which is why I'm standing here with Mr. Broadwater. Karen Sturdivant, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Eric Greening, and I am fully in agreement with the previous two speakers. It's interesting that this spring represents the 50th anniversary of a systematic so-called search for intelligent life in the universe. It has consisted of radio telescopes pointed out there in hopes of decoding some kind of signal from someone out there that we would recognize as intelligent in the way we humans mean intelligent, and somehow be able to decode their message. At the same time, we are sharing this planet with living creatures with brains larger than ours. Unfortunately, what it means in practice is the slaughter of hundreds of whales every year of multiple species. We need the resolution that you would be passing if you pass the resolution that San Luis Obispo, Morro Bay, and San Luis County have passed would be asking both to continue and to strengthen the moratorium. And obviously, there's been talk of a quote-unquote compromise. But if you saw your fellow humans researched in a way that ended up in a meat market, I don't think we would be talking about compromising with the people who are perpetrating these crimes. I think we wouldn't be saying, well, they're doing it anyway, let's put a quota on it and legalizing it. We would be saying, this has to stop. This doesn't just affect the Antarctic waters. It could spill over to our own coast and to the gray whale. And the study with the most current population data is being suppressed and not released at this point for political reasons. They're using old data. They could set a quota of from 60 to 120 of these magnificent beings every year once we open the door to legalization, once the camel's nose gets into the tent. The rest of the camel soon enters. So this is the time to be strong, for all communities to stand together strongly with our fellow sentient beings, intelligent life in the universe. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Greening. Welcome.
Hello, my name is Jessica Rodriguez, and I'm here to talk about today about Teens at Work. And Teens at Work, it's a nonprofit organization run by teenagers that does recycling artwork, like community, like cards, origami cards, and we do landscaping, community service. We do a bunch of artwork, like necklaces made of Scrabble pieces.
Okay, well, hello. I'm Alex Adams. I'm a member with Teens at Work.
You need to talk into the mic.
Sorry. Okay, I'll just restart. Oh, yeah, I'm Alex Adams. I'm a member with Teens at Work. And June 5th, we're having a recycle day where we collect people's recycles from around the community. And when people bring in their recycles, you get a free, like, French fry from Sylvester's Burger, just to kind of help out with our community and get eco-friendly, and it helps raise money to keep our business going. So, don't know if there's anything else you want to say.
Teens at Work really helps teenagers, because we learn, by working with Teens at Work, we learn job skills and help us getting, you know, like how to do sales and work with people and like to be more friendly, and it's really nice. Like,
I have a question. Very good. I think we have a question for you with Councilmember Bayrou.
Can you tell us what kind of items you'll be recycling?
And Sylvester's Burgers, that's going to provide free French fries to everyone who brings the recycling in. We're asking you to deliver it to us at Sunken Gardens, and we will be there between 9 and 2, and this is Saturday, June 5th. And thank you very much. Please support your youth.
Thank you, Ms. Webb.
Good evening. George Schroff, Santa Margarita. Just have a few comments. I want to go over some of the stuff I've noticed, Mayor and City Council. A couple of weeks ago, I was here in these chambers to speak and have spoken, hoping to offer my opinions and insights towards current issues before the City Council and Planning Commission. I greatly respect the integrity of the seats each of you hold and make citywide decisions that have an impact of great magnitude. I am here tonight to speak to comments made by a member of the Planning Commission 2 weeks ago during public comment, offering the foundations for support and approval at the Planning Commission level for the conditional use permit of the La Plaza Theaters. What I heard was his approval of the CUP was based on the number of speakers at the Planning Commission supporting the La Plaza Theaters and the comments from his friends at Diablo Canyon. As I'm expecting informed, conclusive decisions, I found these comments shallow and discouraging. I heard a similar vote from City Council members counting the number of speakers during a Walmart discussion, and do value the recognition given to the speaking public. But the speaking public is only a fraction of the public opinion. The citizens affected by decisions in these chambers are working at home, having dinner, and watching television. Students are with their homework, and many people are scared to death to speak in public. Many assume the logical decisions will be made, and a lot do not pay attention at all. Again, I'm respectful with my comments, and when I look over an environmental study and the negative declaration related to a project like La Plaza Theaters. I would like to hope that the voting members are reviewing the same labors as city staff compared to the comments of their coworkers. My coworkers just rolled their eyes, shook their heads when I shared the comments of the planning commissioner.
Thank you, Mr. Schroff.
Mayor, council members, staff, my name is Fred Collins. I'm tribal administrator for the Northern Chumash Tribal Council. The Northern Chumash Tribal Council is the only governing Chumash council in San Luis Obispo County. We're here to support Mr. Broadmoor, Mr. Greening, County of San Luis Obispo, City of Morro Bay, in the memorandum to stop the changing of this moratorium against the whales. The Native people around the world, the indigenous people around the world, are very connected with all things. We feel that as one species goes, our species goes. When you look at the destruction to the whales over the last century, it's a very, very sad story. In Morro Bay over the weekend, there was a rally. It was a very, very wonderful rally. There were some stories about a Native people that it used to, the whales would come into their harbor, and the Natives would clean the whales and rub coconut oil on them, and they were part of their family, part of their society. And one day, these great ships with sails came sailing into their harbor and turned the bay to red, killing all of the whales. Well, this has continued on to this day, and the whales are in trouble. We are in trouble.
Seeing none, I'm closing the public comment portion and bringing it back. Are there any questions? Go ahead, Councilmember Barrow.
First off, I want to appreciate Mr. Broadwater's intense study of this, and he did send us quite a bit of information via email. And I would like to support him on this effort, and I would like to suggest that if we have council consensus, to put a resolution on our June 8th meeting.
Is this an appropriate time to do that? I'd like to ask the would this be under council announcements?
I think you can do it either place.
Okay, let's go ahead with it. Let's go ahead with the motion.
Okay, I'll make a motion that we put a resolution to support continuing the moratorium on the whaling of... anyway, the resolution that from the different cities around the county supporting the whales.
I'll second.
I think it was seconded by Councilmember Kelly. Roll call vote, please. Do we want discussion?
Yeah.
Sorry,
well, here I am again. You know, I believe in balance, and you know, listen to the tube. Why there's some concern out there that they're actually killing more whales now than they would if the moratorium was lifted and maybe some different. Restrictions were put on. So, you know, I want to hear both sides of the story before I make a decision, and I can't support this
I think what we're voting on tonight is for a resolution that will be brought back to us on June the 8th, and we'll be able to have some discussion on that right at that time.
I believe that is the case. So any other discussion? All right, we have a motion and a second. Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Bayrou?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Not without both sides of the story, no.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Yes.
And Mayor Fonzie?
Yes.
Motion passes 4-1.
Thank you, Annette. At this point, we're going to take a very, very brief recess while we bring the planning commissioners up to the front. If you need to stand and stretch or use the restroom, go ahead. We will reconvene in just 1 or 2 minutes. Thank you. Please take your seats. We're ready to start the Walmart and the Annex Project EIR scoping meeting and project review of the Del Rio Road Commercial Area Specific Plan. You will be given time to speak on different subjects, and the meeting will be divided very strictly into two portions. So I want you to understand this, and it will be explained again by staff to reinforce this. The first portion is the EIR scoping portion of the meeting, where I'll be asking for comments only on the EIR. This would include things like traffic or lighting or noise or other specific environmental impacts
that you may have concerns about. The second portion of the meeting will be more of a general information meeting, not EIR scoping, although it does get wrapped into the EIR, is to give your opinion in general or on other things that have to do with Walmart. So if you're here to say, I hate Walmart or I love Walmart, wait for the second portion, please, or I will make you sit down. Staff report, please.
We need to do a roll call.
You are correct. Go ahead, Annette.
Councilmember Clay.
That will be conducted by our EIR consultant, which is Jason Brandman from Michael Brandman and Associates. And then the project review portion will be conducted by staff following the scoping portion. Just in terms of an overview of the project, community impacts of the project, the Walmart Annex Shopping Center is a major commercial project of approximately 250,000 square feet of new retail space on the north end of town. We are doing an EIR on this project due to its size and its potential to have impacts on the environment. The purpose of the EIR is to provide the community as well as the council and commission with an adequate information about what the total impacts of the project will be on the community so that the council and commission can make an informed decision on this project. Walmart is actually paying for the EIR. So the EIR is being administered by the city, but the cost of it is being borne by Walmart and the Annex project. In terms of the project boundaries, just to refresh everybody, it's located on the north end of town along El Camino Real at Del Rio Road. So the black area here is the project area. It's approximately 39 acres. This is the Walmart portion here. This is the Annex portion here. This is the old Factor Outlets or the Annex Shopping Center development right here. There's the 101 Del Rio Interchange located right here. The red areas are the areas that are currently designated as commercial. The areas that are the browns and yellows are residential designations. That's part of what we'll be looking at through this process is redesignating those to commercial. That's what triggers the general plan amendment and the zone change, which is part of the project. So with that, I will introduce Jason Brandman and turn it over to him.
Thanks, Warren. Appreciate that. Good evening, everyone. Mayor, council, members of the commission, the public. Pleasure to be here tonight. Once again, I'm Jason Brandman from Michael Brandman Associates. Good to be here to assist the city in the scoping meeting process. What I'd first like to do is just kind of give a presentation overview. Just to give a brief overview of the our scoping meeting presentation, brief introduction of the firm, quick summary of the project. Thanks to Warren for initiating that process already. Just some basics as it relates to the California Environmental Quality Act. Discussion about the notice of preparation and kind of the purpose and the intent of the scoping meeting this evening. An overview of the environmental impact report and the contents thereof, and then just some concluding remarks. Real quickly, Michael Brandman Associates, we've been retained by the city. We're under contract with the city of Atascadero to prepare the EIR in accordance with the California Environmental Quality Act. And we're a full-service environmental consulting firm. We're celebrating our 28th year in business, and we have offices throughout California. Real quickly, project summary. The project consists of the Del Rio Commercial Area Specific Plan, approximately 39 acres. As Warren mentioned, the specific plan has two components, one the Walmart component and the other the annex. The specific plan itself would establish zoning and development standards for both components. Once again, here's the specific plan boundaries. We can see here Del Rio Road and El Camino Real, Del Rio basically bisecting the two components. The Walmart site of retail and restaurants and six single-family dwelling units. Some of the key issues as it relates to the project and those that will be addressed in further detail in the EIR. Of note, majority of the native oaks will be removed on site, up to 130. Approximately 310 cubic yards of grading will occur as part of the project. There are two colony houses located on site that are currently being assessed as part of our culture resource analysis in the EIR. El Camino Real and Del Rio Roads are to be widened to 5 lanes. And another important note that the drainage will remain at historic rates and the current locations. Here's a map of the proposed specific plan uses. It gives further detail as it relates to the location of the Walmart and the specific building envelopes for the annex and the parking, et cetera. And there are some other boards up here in the this portion of the back portion of the room that also have further details about the project. Just some basics as it relates to the California Environmental Quality Act. This act requires that the lead agency, here the city of Atascadero, to identify and evaluate and basically disclose to the public and mitigate to the maximum extent feasible any environmental impacts of an actual land use, proposed land use activity. Once again, the city of Atascadero is the lead agency for this project, the Commercial Area Specific Plan Environmental Impact Report. And the CEQA process is really intended to evaluate the environmental impacts of this project, and really the project merits, as the mayor had mentioned, are really outside of the scope of the CEQA process and this scoping meeting here in the EIR tonight. Some of the CEQA milestones to date and some of the future milestones, the notice of preparation announcing that we were going to be preparing an environmental impact report for this project was issued on May 13th. And I'll talk a little bit further in detail about the notice of preparation. Tonight, our scoping meeting on the EIR here, May 25th, the close of the 30-day review period on the notice of preparation for the public to submit comments on the notice of preparation is June 11th. Some of the future milestones, we are in the process of preparing a draft EIR for this project. It will be released to the public. There will be a public review period of approximately 45 days. That review period will end. We'll be responsible for responding to comments on the draft EIR. We'll release a final EIR, and then the EIR will go to hearings to Planning Commission and City Council to consider EIR certification. So the notice of preparation basically, as I mentioned before, announces basically the lead agency's intention to prepare an environmental impact report. And what the NOP basically does, it describes the project and identifies the issues that will be evaluated in detail in the EIR. And as you can see here on this slide, this project is proposing to prepare an EIR that evaluates a number of issue environmental topics and issue areas from aesthetics, air quality, hazardous materials, hydrology and water quality as pertains to drainage, impacts on noise, transportation, measures to lessen those impacts on the environment. This EIR will make conclusions about any residual impacts after all of the feasible mitigation measures have been identified. There are specific content requirements as it pertains to EIRs in accordance with the California Environmental Quality Act. Those required sections include an executive summary, which lays out a summary of the impacts and mitigation measures employed to reduce those impacts to less than significant levels, a project description, a very detailed project description, a thorough and detailed impact analysis, cumulative effects. Those are effects in terms of the project in combination with other projects, impacts that may occur cumulatively, and then an alternative section, alternatives to the proposed project. There are a number of special studies also that are being prepared. Special standalone technical studies are being prepared as part of this project. Those include traffic and air quality study, including an analysis of impacts as it relates to greenhouse gases, urban decay, a very detailed biological and cultural resource study. Real briefly on EIR alternatives. The EIR, I know this is an important topic, the EIR will consider a range of feasible alternatives. Basically, those are alternatives that can attain the project objectives as laid out for the actual project and set forth in the EIR. And basically, the purpose of the analysis really is to identify alternatives that avoid or eliminate or lessen the project's significant impact. So the California Environmental Quality Act requires an evaluation of a no-project alternative, which is an alternative that looks at development that could occur under the general plan, or a no-development alternative where nothing would occur on the site. Other alternatives that the CIR or other EIRs would typically include Are those reduced project size or involve different or alternative uses? As it relates to the EIR and public review and comment on the draft EIR, once again, as I mentioned, the draft EIR will circulate for a minimum of 45 days for public review and comment. Notices will be sent to a variety of public agencies and organizations and individuals as it relates to the availability of the EIR for review. The document will be posted on the city's website. It will be made available in hard copy print form at City Hall and all of the local libraries. The city will then and is expected to hold a public hearing on the draft EIR, at which time it will take oral testimony as well as solicited on the document. Pursuant to CEQA requirements, written responses will be prepared to all the comments received on the draft EIR. This will culminate the preparation of a final EIR where those written responses will be laid out and provided. And then the final EIR will be released prior to the public hearing on EIR certification. Basically, the public hearing process, the Planning Commission will make recommendations to City Council regarding EIR certification, and ultimately the City Council will make the final decision on the EIR certification. The public will be able to provide testimony at the CEQA process. It's important to note that. So real quickly, before I turn it back to City Council and the Planning Commission, just some ground rules for the scoping session. I think the mayor handedly identified those, but I'll try to reiterate really the format and purpose. What I think we'd like to do is have the mayor open the meeting up for a public hearing, take public comments and or agency comments, excuse me, on the EIR, on the document, and then close the public hearing and hear from council and commission comments. And I think, Warren, you have a slide that's going to kind of give some guidance in terms of what some of the scoping topics are. And that's the next slide. So with that, Madam Mayor, I'll turn it back to you.
Before we start, I'd like to ask the council and commissioners if they have any questions for Mr. Brandman before I open it up to the public. Commissioner Schmidt.
Yes, I'm interested in knowing. I was a little bit surprised by the comment about the Del Rio specific plan area. Have you spent any time looking at the general plan and the objectives of that specific plan?
Yeah, we've received a large amount of information from the city via the project applicant, in addition to a considerable amount of information from the city as well. We've begun that process. We've just initiated that process. So, for the most part.
And will that include looking at the, I don't know if there was an EIR prepared for that specific plan, or was it looked at through a general plan document, EIR document? And so I guess my questions my comments would be more of consistency with some of the mitigations that were identified already. I was a little bit surprised about the comments about the five-lane roads. It seems to me if the projects are consistent with the specific plan and have been identified in the general plan, then we've already looked at what road widths are going to be and so on.
I guess just to clarify, the specific plan's not adopted at this point. That's part of this project. So the Walmart Annex project will be under the umbrella of a specific plan, and that specific plan will set the design standards and requirements for this entire project. So the Walmart Annex project and the specific plan are one and the same. We're kind of using the titles interchangeably just because most of the public's used to calling it the Walmart project, but we're actually, the official name is the Del Rio Road Commercial Area Specific Plan is the formal legal name for the project.
But the zoning is set in the general plan, is it not? And then there has been analysis that's been provided within the general plan EIR that discusses traffic you know, the impacts of a commercial zoning in this area on in different aspects within the city, does it not?
Yes, when we did the general plan update in 2002, we set the zoning in this area as it currently is, and there was an EIR and a traffic study that was done that analyzed that. And what we're talking about with this project is amending the general plan and zoning, and that will create potentially new impacts. And
Regarding the scope of this EIR, and would like to speak directly with Mr. Brandman about this as well. The first issue I wanted to bring up is arose in a September 2005 email between Wade McKinney, the city manager, and at that time Councilmember George Luna, in which was about the upgrade of the Del Rio Road interchange, in which Mr. McKinney wrote, quote, Walmart is expecting to deal with the Del Rio interchange and pay impact fees, end quote. So my question is, will the EIR deal with the upgrade of the Del Rio Road interchange, and what will the funding through impact fees be of that? Secondly, this is going to be probably the largest commercial building that's ever built in this city, and as a result, should be done right. And so a couple of the issues that I'd like to see addressed include workforce and recommendations that we use local contractors and local labor wherever possible. And the EIR should analyze the carbon footprint of not doing that with outside contractors and labor. In terms of building materials, the EIR should address lighting, both passive and electrical, heating, ventilation, and air conditioning, including cogeneration potential from the refrigeration units on the site for generating and reusing heat, the walls and roof material, and plug-ins in the parking lot possible. I think I only know of one that we have here in town over at Rabobank for electrical vehicles, and also solar panels for photovoltaic generation. And I would suggest an analysis of having parking spaces being covered and solar panels being placed on those parking places for generating electricity, as is being done in a number of places. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Broadwater. Next.
Fred Collins, Tribal Administrator, Northern Chumash Tribal Council. Underneath the Del Rio commercial specific plan, there's also something that's been left out here, and that's the Senate Bill 18, which was passed 2005 by Arnold Schwarzenegger. And what that specifically says is that it's a nation-to-nation consultation. I have been in contact with Warren, and Warren says we're going to start this process here very shortly. But I want everybody to know that it's not been mentioned, and Jason didn't mention it, and it is a very, very important issue with us. Now, when we go into this consultation, we have 90 days to make any decisions and come to an agreement. And if we don't have an agreement, then we can go to the Native American Heritage Commission, which takes another 30 days, and we have another 45 days with the SHPO office if we don't come to an agreement. So underneath Senate Bill 18, it's a government-to-government consultation where the Native American community for the first time has the ability to be involved in projects from the very first rung of the ladder, where in the past we were always at the bottom of the ladder where projects were finished and we were put on.
Yeah. Just looking over some of the stuff I'm observing on some of the streeting diagrams over here. I used to work for
Sir, could you speak right into the mic? Oops. It's hard when you turn your head to hear you.
There you are. Good. When I worked with Office Depot, I traveled this intersection here at Del Rio and El Camino every day, and I'm seeing just a few lanes in the potential diagrams for the overpass there, and I'm anticipating a growth in the traffic there, and I'm just wondering if there's going to be some concern about widening the overpass to accommodate that traffic. I mean, in Paso, they had to widen the bridge, so I just want to see where that's going to go.
Thank you, Mr. Shaw.
Thank you. I'm Eric Greening, and following up on previous speakers, yes, SB 18 applies directly to any general plan amendment. And in this case, there are actually two nations to contact because there weren't hard and fast boundaries. There were mixed marriages, mixed communities, and the Salinan Nation also needs to be in the loop, as well as the Chumash, definitely. I would also, following up on the interchange issues, I know that previous iterations there were offers to do various work on the local roads, but the interchange, this is an example, by the way, and Tom, you see what's coming? This is an example of the kind of agenda packet that our transportation people get. This is what our advisory committees are going to be working on tomorrow and what SLOCOG will be working on in a couple of weeks. It's the funding picture is absolutely Byzantine, and the programming picture is even more Byzantine. Essentially, to mitigate a project with transportation improvements over whose timing we may not have control, that uncertainty of timing definitely needs to be part of the picture, because once you get into the Caltrans right-of-way and their own sequence of projects, their own pipeline, which is often very stalled, then we don't know exactly when. The developer can promise to pay for such and such increment of it, but who knows when it will actually happen. In addition, to the extent that new roadways or widened roadways or enlarged roadways are a mitigation, they are also an impact. And we then have to deal with questions such as, will base be imported? If so, from where? Will parts of the Salinas River or Estrella River be dug up to provide the base for these enlarged transportation infrastructures? Essentially, mitigations have impacts, and sometimes those impacts have impacts. Some of them are on-site, and some of them are off-site. I definitely agree with Mr. Broadwater's comment about exploring all of the potential for solar power generation, for architecture that is passive in terms of the heating and cooling, any way to unplug from the grid and generate power on-site. We have a SB 375 to comply with. There's a big part of this chunk is what are our strategies going to be?
And a car will be coming westward, coming towards me, who will kind of come around that curve where the road curves, and I frequently get frightened, that if I wasn't paying attention for the very last second, I'm going to get broadsided. And that's for somebody who knows about it, is expecting it, and anticipates it. I'm amazed that there hasn't been an accident there to date, especially as they built in the lakes in the back. But I'm concerned that this is going to be more of a problem. Frequently, as I get off the freeway and I'm going home, there'll be cars in front of me who are obviously lost, and they've accidentally gone across Camino Real, and they get into Del Rio, and they kind of don't know where they want to go, and they try to make a U-turn at that intersection. And I keep thinking, it's just going to take a car coming around that curve to nail them. And, again, why it hasn't happened, I don't know. But you're going to get more people who are going to accidentally go beyond the turnoff areas. And I don't know how to mitigate that. I don't know whether it would take stop signs. I don't know whether it would take a signal. I think if you have the truck entry going in through that way, you're going to have trucks coming out there every once in a while, and that's going to be an issue. I don't think they should be coming onto Obispo Road, which they may have a tendency to do. Perhaps it would be better to have the access for trucks coming in from another direction. In fact, I think that it seems that most of the traffic entering the area is through Del Rio Road, and it seems to me that it really needs to be more coming in from off of Camino Real. I think it can handle the traffic much better than Del Rio can, and I think it would avoid some of these issues. One other question is pedestrian traffic. People who are at Walmart are going to want to go over and across the street over to the annex, or presumably they're going to want to. How are they going to get there? Granted, they should go up to the intersection and walk across, but we know it's not a perfect world, and that doesn't always happen. And you're going to get people jaywalking and going across there, and that could also cause a potential problem. And lastly, oftentimes in the summer months, the sun is setting, and you're looking right into that as you're coming up Del Rio back towards the freeway. And you don't see runners, and you don't see walkers. And, again, I've almost hit them myself because you don't see them. So I think all these concerns need to really be addressed. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lawrence.
City Council, city staff, commissioners, good evening. My name is Steve Ryburn. I'm a resident of Atascadero and a concerned citizen. I want to talk about water briefly. We all know that water is becoming a driving force in development, not only in our county, but in California. All the citizens of Atascadero are well aware of all the measures that the water company and the city has taken to help conserve this valuable resource. My concern is that the Walmart Supercenter will require 6 million gallons of water annually to operate. That's information that I was able to glean over the internet. I would like to see the ERI address this issue. My suggestion would be that Walmart partnership with the Atascadero Mutual Water Company expand their retrofit program, their water conservation measures, hopefully make this a water neutral
of area beside the asphalt and the telephone poles or mailboxes that are there to pass. That would be on the north side of the street. And on the south side of the street, there's if there's not poison oak in the way, there's zero access between the street and the actual walk area. So essentially, there's no place for any kind of foot traffic. And with students, children that are students, having to traverse back and forth on that road with traffic increasing exponentially, it's a real concern for us in particular. Although both the annex and the Walmart project will probably be beneficial to us personally, I don't want them to be detrimental either. So please look into that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dubois.
Hello, my name is Ron Rothman. I live in Atascadero. The Del Rio neighborhood concerned citizens have a number of issues that they would like to see addressed in the EIR. First, we are concerned about increased traffic generated by the projects, specifically the impacts to the intersection of El Camino Real and Del Rio, and also the Del Rio and San Ramon, Santa Cruz bridges over Highway 101. They are currently at service levels A or B. Which service levels would result from the proposed projects, and how would it be mitigated? We are concerned about stormwater runoff. Would the projects cause increased flows to adjacent properties on the west side of 101? What would be the impact to those properties and also to San Ramon Road and Graves Creek? Noise levels are a concern. If the project operates 24 hours a day, what is the increase in noise level at night in comparison to current levels? Would delivery trucks be restricted to certain hours of operation? What mitigation measures would be used to address the noise issues? We are concerned about lighting. What would be the ambient light in the area in contrast to the existing levels? We would like to see state-of-the-art system used to mitigate those lighting issues. Air quality is an issue also. What is the current air quality level at the site now, and what would be the effect of the proposed projects, and how would they be mitigated? Crime is another concern. What are the historical calls for service in the proposed study area, and what is the historical record of similar-sized projects in calls for service? Although it is not proposed now, we are concerned about high-density housing associated with the project. We believe, as stated in the general plan, high density should be located closer to the center of town. And finally, we do not want to see tax money used to mitigate impacts created by these projects. We would like to know if any tax breaks or incentives are being offered by the city. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rothman.
My name is Jennifer, and live here in Atascadero, actually in the Colony Homes. Closest residential community, or one of the closest residential communities to this project.
Jennifer, could we have your name for the record, your full name?
Jennifer Monteith.
Thank you.
My home is actually less than 500 feet from this, so as you all can tell, I'm very directly affected by this. For many reasons, definitely the traffic. I was unaware of business hours. This could be a result of my 10-month-old daughter not being able to sleep through the night. I'd like to ensure that there are no tenants that store or sell hazardous materials, no auto body or lube tenant options. I'd also would like to request a full economic analysis to be included in the scope of the EIR because there, you know, there's already enough vacant buildings in Atascadero scattered around, and I'd hate for this to be 10 years down the road and yet another vacant building. So in conclusion, I would just like to say, you know, just take all these things into consideration. The charm of Atascadero, that's the whole reason me and my husband moved here. The small town feel. So that's it.
Thank you, Ms. Montes. Good evening, City Council and staff. Lee Perkins from Atascadero. Oppose Walmart research the impacts of Walmarts coming to small towns across the country. Consistently, we found that city councils can use their clout to require Walmart to meet particular standards such as architectural style, consistent with general plans, LED lighting in the parking lots, installing solar panels, and implementing 24-hour security outside Walmart based on the high degree of crime in Walmart parking lots. Another issue to be explored, who will pay for the cost of the intersection and overpass at Del Rio and El Camino and the San Anselmo exit in light of the dramatic increase in traffic expected? Will Walmart pay for the overpass as promised in an email in 2006 to Wade McKinney, or will the city of Atascadero pick up the tab? If Walmart does not pay for these street improvements, it means our property tax will be footing the bill for this development roadways. Over the last 4 years, there has been much discussion and controversy about the potential economic impact of Walmart Supercenter on our local grocers and merchants. And even though this issue has been brought up many times, it does not mean the EIR will specifically study the issue of transfer sales tax from existing stores to the new project unless we ask for this study tonight, such as how much of local businesses' loss of sales or closure simply shifts sales tax to the Walmart Supercenter. What will happen to the existing local workforce now employed at these stores and businesses? Will the development lead to our local plazas going dark? How much will the project cost the city? Will the project possibly expand in the future? How will the project affect our quality of life, including air pollution? Because the impact process takes time, this study needs to project over 2 to 5 years in order to accurately assess the true long-term impacts. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Perkins.
Good evening, Mayor, Council, staff, and attendees. I'm Tom Comar, Atascadero resident. I'm spokesperson for SaveAtascadero.com, formerly Oppose Walmart. This first discussion really is about ensuring an unbiased, comprehensive appraisal of the multiple impacts of this development on our community, on our city budget, finances, and ultimately our tax dollars, and on existing retail and grocery stores and employees in these stores. Hundreds, if not thousands, of EIRs have been completed on
Okay, make it quick.
Which do not generate any sales tax revenue to the city from groceries. So in light of the major impacts on the grocery business and sales tax revenue, we believe that one of the most reasonable and feasible alternatives that must be studied in this EIR that meets the objectives of the project is a similar-sized Walmart regular department store without the full component of groceries. We believe this would minimize many of the impacts. We would also like the EIR to address the following: traffic, noise, glare, hazardous dumping, nighttime deliveries, idling big rigs, crime, funding of emergency services, and police. Now, in anticipation of many of the negative impacts and documented unintended consequences, we would ask the City Council require Walmart and the Annex to meet the following conditions: that the building cannot be expanded in the future, that Walmart pay a minimum of $3 million contribution into the traffic.
Sir, these are not EIR topics. These would be in another location in our hearing process.
Okay. What I was leading to was that we believe that these conditions that we'll find, that we would like the city council to hold and be accountable to deal with these findings rather than dismissing any of them as unmitigatable for political reasons or overriding economic considerations, which CEQA allows. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Comer.
Madam Chair, members of the council, Madam Mayor, I'm sorry. I would like to support many of the concerns that
Your name for the record?
Fred Frank.
Thank you.
I'd like to reiterate and support most of the concerns that were addressed. Particularly, I'm concerned about the secondary traffic impact on some of the secondary roads that are leading to the project. At the time we were talking about the general plan amendment, we were led to believe that the EIR would address many of the economic concerns. It seems like that's a little out of the scope of a typical EIR, but I see that there is a section that will address urban decay and cultural impact. And for this reason, I would like to support many of the concerns that were addressed concerning the transfer of cost for mitigation from the project developers to the city. And Walmart's been quite adept at that practice in the past, and I would hope that that would be addressed somehow in the section on urban decay and perhaps cultural impact, because it's not easy to get tax funds, as you well know. And to spend it subsidizing a big corporation, I think, is totally out of line. And I would hope that you would demand that these issues are addressed. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Frank.
Madam Mayor, Council, Commissioners, staff, community, that's almost done talking with that. Jim Wilkins, President of the Historical Society. Had the opportunity to talk with Bob at the open house, the architect for the Rotman Group, talk with
Council and planning members, staff, and neighbors. Michael Latner, City of Atascadero. I have two specific questions that I got from the open house meeting. One is, my understanding is that the floor plan for this store does not currently have in it the closed or integrated cooling system that the Sacramento store, which was a recent retrofitting up there, doesn't have the same system, which saves considerably on some costs. And I'm wondering if the group tonight can speak to why that was determined not to be put in the initial plan. What is exactly the difference in terms of the lost efficiency, and if there has been any discussion about how to make up the efficiency for leaving that out of this particular plan? My second question has to do with the parking lot and the materials that are used in the parking lot, if those are the porous materials used to help absorb water and reduce loss of the water. And on a related question, if there's a formal process for actually submitting pilot programs. We know that Walmart has a number of pilot programs that they try out in stores across the country, and I'm wondering if there's a formal process where we might submit applications for pilot programs, including watershed or water reclamation systems, things like that. Finally, I have a question about the measuring of the impact of long-term urban decay, and this has been brought up partially by some other speakers, so I may be overlapping a little bit here, but my understanding is that EIR requirement should include loss for not only sales revenues but also urban decay and the blight that the city might be responsible for the costs once there are competing retail centers that are lost due to competition. So my question has to do with whether or not that's been included in, as part of the assessment of the cost of urban decay and exactly what that estimate is. If there's something more refined, we can get on that. Finally, I'd like to strongly encourage the use of the similar methodology used to look at the economic impact in terms of sales revenues that have been done in some previous studies, and I'm wondering if the group has plans of doing that, looking at, for example, changes in average wages as well as sales revenues using similar methodologies like the UC Berkeley's Labor Research and Education Center. If you could address those concerns.
Your time is up, sir.
I'd be happy. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lattner.
My name is Gary Kirkland. I live at 4620 Portola Road. I'm here. A couple of things the EIR should cover is how much tax revenue will the Walmart develop? If the traffic is going to increase, as many people here have talked about, that should mean that the tax revenue for the city should go up quite a bit. And also the EIR should cover how many new jobs, how many new people will have jobs at Walmart when they start. And the EIR should cover that. All economic impacts, both positive and negative, not just the negative ones. And that's what we should do with the EIR. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kirkland.
Good evening, Madam Mayor, council members, fellow citizens. My name is Peter Henderson, and I have been a resident of Atascadero for over 30 years. I currently reside in the Colony Homes that is north of the annex. And I know a lot of people are concerned about Walmart, but of course, many of us, all 38 homes, a lot of us are more, and we put a lot of money and effort into it. We have a park that belongs to our community that we take care of, we pay for. We also want to know exactly what might be occurring, the impacts of that being so close to this development. So thank you very much.
Mr. Henderson, if
yes.
I could just get some clarification. When
yes.
you say Colony Homes, you're not talking about the older homes that
no.
were built in 1915.
No, this is a homeowners association, and it's called the Colony Homes.
That is just north of the
that
project.
That is just north, immediately north of the project. So.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your time.
Mm-hmm, thank you.
Have a nice night.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak on the scoping? Seeing none, I'm going to close it to the public comment on scoping only. We will come back for further discussion. And I would like some direction from staff. This is to come back to the council, and we are to select the items, or you're just going to take the comments and incorporate them into your study.
Apologize. Yeah, the intent for the meeting tonight was for us to listen to the public comments. I can say in general, many of the comments that have been made, the EIR is going to be looking at those specific areas. As I mentioned before, there are a number of technical studies that speak to all of the issues and concerns that were addressed this evening. So I feel very confident that that will take place. So that's really what was the purpose for this meeting, was to hear the issues and concerns being addressed by the public. We'll review our notes. Consult with Warren and other departments, and ensure that we do the best we can in terms of addressing those issues in the environmental document.
Thank you, Mr. Brandman.
You're welcome.
Mayor?
Yes.
Just to see if this would be an appropriate time, I did receive an email from a resident that was not able to come tonight due to some medical issues. If I could read that into the
Please
record.
Please do, yes.
This is from Robert and Marlene Shannon. We live in a colony home which we are currently restoring on Rio Rita, directly behind the Walmart site. Our official address is 4835 Del Rio Road. We planned on coming to speak at this important meeting tonight between the Planning Commission and the City Council regarding the EIR. However, we are unable to come due to health problems. Just discharged this afternoon after major surgery and a hospital stay. Our purpose is to request that a tall decorative sound wall be incorporated into the EIR built at the elevation of Rio Rita as a mitigation to reduce sound impacts for surrounding property owners. Sound is amplified as it travels up, and we will be right above the loading docks. If this becomes a super Walmart, this could even conceivably go on all night. Even though there will be a bank separating the two elevations, that simply is not enough to reduce the noise. It will travel up and over. It would be most appreciated if this could be addressed at tonight's meeting, and we will be happy to give more input at a later date. I am unable to write to all council members this afternoon. Sincerely, Robert and Marlene Shannon. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's receive that for filing. Commissioners or council members, are any other items that were not mentioned at public comment that you think should be within the EIR scoping? Commissioner Colomarino.
Yes, I want to raise a subject here, which it goes to the scoping question. It may be beyond the scope, and that's why I want to bring it up. Some of us have talked about the possible big box stores in that area. I mean, we've seen in many cities, I think we've all seen this, big box districts develop, and they become kind of magnets for shopping. We see this in San Luis Obispo, for example, along Los Osos Valley Road. I'm wondering whether that's a direction that the city council and the people of Atascadero want to go in this area. And if so, should we foresee that and consider this project not just in isolation, but rather as a major step down the road of creating a big box district? And if that's the case, then the question of cushioning impacts on people in the area becomes a little more complicated, perhaps, but also it may have more long-term importance. Anyway, I want to bring that subject up in managing the city's business. I think it's worthwhile to consider whether this is the beginning of the formation of a real big box district in Atascadero, and if it is, how to manage that properly for the benefit of everybody, maximizing the revenues for the city and minimizing the impacts for the residents.
Thank you, Mr. Colomarino. Commissioner Moreno?
In reading through the packet that we received of all the comments that were made, there was just one. Pretty much everything that had been addressed was brought up tonight, but one individual had just kind of talked about the parking lot, the trees, you know, would some people have concern about lighting being too much and hurting the surrounding area. And this one individual just was thinking that with the trees and with the lighting in the parking lot at night be adequate for security reasons. And so I know security is going into that, but I just wanted to make sure that that got put in there if it wasn't already. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other? Okay, Commissioner Ward.
Yes. There's one of the major items is air quality, and I understand that a lot of cars going in there, but I would hope that the consultant would take into account a total material balance. There's going to be tens of thousands of less trips down to Paso and San Luis Obispo for people in this community that now will shop here. And I hope that the hundreds of thousands of gallons of gasoline that will not be burned in those outside trips will be taken into consideration when you look at the air quality situation for this project. That's it.
Thank you. Councilmember Bayrou.
I have a pretty short list. One was there's mention of two colony homes, one on each side of Del Rio, and Mr. Wilkins mentioned that there's discussion about moving those, but you know, I think making sure our colony homes are preserved is a very important point. There are 140 native trees, some very large, on both of these properties, both sides of the Del Rio. And pretty much all of them are being removed, and I want to make sure that that is analyzed in terms of environmental or wildlife impacts. I am concerned about hours of operation. The effect on the underground water system is going to be taken into account. It does concern me. Sometimes we're surprised where water comes from in this town. And then there was quite a number of people who talked about economic study, and I do have a question for the consultant on the level of study that the urban decay and the, I think there's another part there.
Fiscal impact study.
The fiscal impacts. And we've talked about our concerns as a council about the impacts on our local businesses and whether we need to ask for further study beyond the EIR. Thank you.
Thank you. I believe Mr. Schmidt had his hand up first, and then Council Member O'Malley.
Yes, thank you. I was listening to Mr. Commissioner Ward's comments about the impacts that he was talking about, which was a reduced trips going down the roads. And one of the things that would interest me is also the spinoff that would result from shopping at a complex like this, and if there's a way of analyzing who might stay, who might extend their expenditures within the community elsewhere. I also was interested in Mr. Komar's statements about, and it seemed like he was leading down the path that if there were needs for statement of overriding findings, would the consultant be preparing those statements?
Let's continue on with the comments, and he'll take
them
down.
Well, I think that what Mr. Komar was heading off on was that if we do have statements of overriding finding, that we consider the conditions that he was placing and talking about. Lastly, I'm wondering about Class 5 impacts. One of the comments Mr. Kirkland has mentioned about the beneficial impacts. Many people don't know CEQA does address beneficial impacts. And so I would like for them to be included if there are Class 5 impacts associated with this project.
Thank you. Council Member O'Malley.
Thank you. And again, for the consultant, I want to reiterate everything you've heard tonight will be incorporated into the study, and there'll be some sort of comment or response or maybe even a plan in response to each item that was brought up this evening.
As I listened to the comments tonight, I mean, my firm works with multiple jurisdictions on Walmart projects. These are typical of the issues that are addressed during scoping meetings. Having that background and knowledge in terms of what is typically included in the EIR is the level of information and detail that's provided by an applicant such as Walmart, feeling very confident that the issues raised tonight will be addressed in some semblance. So in terms of cataloging the issues that have been mentioned here tonight, I've been taking notes, Warren has been taking notes. We can certainly coordinate as in regards to how we may want to share it's not typical that responses, direct responses are made to comments garnered at a scoping meeting.
That has just been polished up fairly recently, and it helps a lot with those traffic questions and some of those everything from air pollution and trips, and that might help in giving some quantifiable comparisons to some of these
corrections.
And I did personally want to agree with, I would like to make sure there is a plan for the relocation of the existing Colony homes, and I think that is something that's important to our community, and it sounds like that's being addressed, but it would be good if that's fairly thought through. And I agree, as far as any economic analysis, we need to take a look at the cost and benefit, and there's a lot of two-way, and there are some multiplier effects, and we need to understand that.
Well, staff has been diligent in terms of requiring a fiscal impact analysis. That's not typically done in most jurisdictions for EIRs. So
we've got it.
Yeah, it's covered.
Good. Thank you.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
In regards to water, I hope that you will analyze the, and when we're talking about Walmart, we're talking about the both projects, right? We keep saying Walmart, and, you know, the Rodman Group project is pretty large, too. But that a lot of that area is zoned RMF-16, and there could be, you know, the up to 180 houses is what I've heard before. So in regards to the use of water, I think you need to estimate what the housing, if we didn't build a Walmart at all, or the Rotman Group, what that use would be. I would suspect that it would be less than what the two developments will use. The other thing, I agree with the air quality and the greenhouse gases. Right now, 98.5% of the people in Atascadero, according to a study we had just a year or so ago, get their clothing outside of Atascadero. And 75% of the people that eat in restaurants eat outside of Atascadero. So I hope that when you consider that, you'll consider the leakage and the amount of greenhouse gases that are spent driving to San Luis, Paso Robles, Santa Maria, and so on for our needs. The other thing is, in regards to the economic study, most of the businesses, as I recall, were supportive of Walmart. So I hope you will address the positive economic impact for all the businesses up and down El Camino Real, the thinking being that the more traffic there are, the more apt that they'll get into our downtown and so on. And the big box area that Lynn mentioned, you know, I'm not concerned with that personally, Lynn, because we have a different topography than Paso Robles and San Luis does. Like down on Tank Farm Road, they have all that flat area. We go up immediately, and finding areas for other big boxes are going to be quite difficult.
Commissioner Sturdivant?
Yes, I'd like to see the scope of safety and security to expand beyond the specific
parking lot as well. Also, the area that would be near the public transportation, there needs to be a safe route for those who are handicapped or elderly to get safely to the store without crossing through traffic. I also had some concerns about the neighborhoods as well, and we heard this regarding the shoulders on the roads and those that are coming from various places on foot. We need some access across the street to the annex and back to the Walmart area and the adjacent housing areas. With that, I don't know whether we need a break. If you'd like a break, raise your hand and we'll consider it. I see only one hand. Okay, let's continue onward then and go to our second portion, and this will be the general project discussion items. Councilmember Bayrou.
Do we have to decide on the alternative projects?
Why don't you guide us through this, Mr. Brandman? Is there something that we need to do with this?
I don't think at this point. I mean, we need a better understanding in terms of the actual impacts of the project before we formally formulate the alternatives. I mean, okay. I think we gave a general assessment as to what we would be thinking about, a reduced intensity alternative, an alternative design. But as we move through the impact analysis, we will be able to define what those specific alternatives are, and we'll be working with city staff to do so.
So as far as you're concerned, we have covered the scoping adequately?
That is correct.
Very good.
I'm sorry, so there'll be another meeting for alternative projects?
He needs to come up with a list and go through this a little bit more before we can go to that subject matter, if I understood it correctly.
There won't be another meeting with the commission and council on the project until we get to the final approval hearing. So if there's some concerns right now that you want to address regarding alternatives, this would be the best time to bring it up now. The consultant will be responsible for formulating the actual alternatives because they have to be realistic and feasible. But if you want to give us some input on some issues that you want us to be aware of, that would be appropriate. But we won't be deciding alternatives at this point. That's the consultant's job. But you could give us input about your concerns.
Warren, I'm a little confused. Are you stating that we need to give you alternatives at this point, or we do not?
Well, it's not the job necessarily of the council to give us alternatives. That's the consultant's role. But this is the one opportunity the commission and council have to give us any input on the preparation of the EIR, which will include the alternatives. It's the consultant's responsibility to develop feasible, realistic alternatives that mitigate the project. So if you want to give us some feedback that you would like the consultant to consider, this would be the time to do that. You could also submit comments in writing as part of the notice of preparation period as well, but this is the last meeting that you'll be holding.
Okay, I believe Council Member Barosa, she has just one brief comment, so let's go ahead with that unless there's others that share comments, and let's keep it very brief.
Well, I just want to clarify, it sounds like the next topic we're going under general project discussion is the time anyone from the public also could make a comment on that topic. Is that correct?
Yeah, you can make any comments you want during the next session.
Thank you.
Very good. Council Member Barrow?
Typically, in the context of alternatives, when we're trying to reduce significant impacts, it's very rare that something larger is proposed. So probably unlikely.
Thank you.
In this case as well.
Council Member O'Malley.
Thank you. And this is just a comment, and I certainly appreciate what you had to share, Councilwoman Barrow. I think the opportunity we had to negotiate for some better options was probably a couple of years ago when the economy was better and there were more options considered. And it's unfortunate that I think we probably have fewer options now. But okay. I trust a consultant to guide us through that process to get the best we can.
Very good. Let's move on to part two. And is there any staff report on this, or do we need to open it to the public right away?
Yes, there is a staff report. And just a reminder, this isn't the close of the notice of preparation period. It's still open. It will run through June 11th. So we're encouraging agencies and the public to submit their comments in writing. So those can be submitted to city staff up until June 11th. So I just wanted to make sure everybody knows that there's still the opportunity to make comments. And with that, we will move on to the next part of the presentation. So just kind of an update on where we're at with the overall project. Walmart hosted the community open house, which was one of the requirements of the general plan amendment process on May 5th. We received over 80 written comments. Those were all packaged up and delivered to the council and commission. We believe there was over 100 people that came through and saw the different exhibits and were afforded the opportunity to ask questions about the project. Tonight's the EIR scoping meeting, which is obviously the kickoff to the EIR process. We expect the draft EIR to be released sometime around fall of this year, 2010, and that the entire EIR will be completed this winter around the new year. That would put us into hearings with the commission and council in the late winter of 2011. So that's kind of the schedule that we'll be working on. So the next time the commission and council will see this is for the approval hearings in early 2011. Just want to go over the project. We talked about the environmental issues. Obviously, there's additional issues on the project as well. There's architecture and character and that sort of thing. So I just want to give an overview of what the latest version of the project is. Really, the last time the commission and council saw this project was in January of 2009, almost 15 months ago. At that point, it was a slightly bigger store. Overall, the project is the same, but the Walmart portion of the project has been reduced, and the architecture has been refined to a certain degree. So the project, as we've discussed, has the 129,000 square foot Walmart store here. There's the two outlots that are located in this location that could accommodate up to 10,000 square feet of retail. The way the specific plan is going to be set up is that will be fairly flexible space. So if a single tenant wanted to build a single building of 10,000 square feet or multiple buildings up to 10,000 square feet, that would all work in that location. The multifamily lot is up here. It will be designated to accommodate up to 44 units. There isn't going to be a specific grading or site plan or architecture at this point. That will be addressed. And then we have the annex component, as we spoke about, that's on the other end of the project. There's some additional commercial property that surrounds the annex. There's a commercial lot here, And then obviously on the corner up by the interchange is also additional commercial property. The specific plan will address connections to those areas. We want to make sure that as those other commercial projects develop in the future, we have shared access and parking arrangements between the parcels so we don't have an issue like where we have Food for Less and Albertsons where you have two centers next to each other and you can't get to the two. So we want to make sure this is designed to avoid that sort of situation. So this is the Walmart illustrative landscape plan as it's proposed currently right now. There's this secondary road that's proposed here that eventually will provide additional connections to this multifamily area and help to tie that area into the project. And then the second connection would be here on Del Rio Road. This is the floor plan for the building. The yellow area is the general merchandise area, about 65,000 square feet. The grocery sales area is about 30,000 square feet. And then there's a number of areas designated for storage and auxiliary uses, as well as the outdoor garden center area here. This is the architectural concept. This follows Walmart's latest corporate branding and architectural theme. It focuses really on increasing kind of the pedestrian scale and character, especially around the entries in front. They're trying to get away from the large boxy looking building, so they put a lot of detail into the front of the building. You can see that there'll be some brick material incorporated in the building that matches the historic City Hall Rotunda building for a little bit of historic character to the building. Lots of elements of different roof lines and ins and outs to try to break up the mass of the building and color changes even on the backs and sides of the building. The signs on the building are pretty basic. They just want the Walmart signs on the front and at the garden center. They are requesting a freestanding pole sign. Staff has given them some comments that would prefer more of a monument style sign. So I think that's being reviewed right now by Walmart. In terms of the annex project, this is their current site plan. This is a kind of a retail project that could accommodate a number of uses from fairly, medium-sized box stores and, say, a freestanding drugstore down to some smaller retails, fast food drive-throughs, that sort of thing. Right now, they don't have a specific list of tenants based because of the economy. We do expect, as this moves forward, we'll get more specific tenants, and then this plan is set up to be flexible enough that the buildings can be revised to accommodate specific tenants that may need space in this building for this project. This is the architectural concept. It's a Mediterranean theme, the stucco buildings with the tile roofs. Good attention to detail. There's a lot of ceramic tile, awnings, different additions, pop-outs, and things like that on the buildings. So we'll have guidelines in the specific plan that will deal with the architecture and basically achieve a uniform architectural concept throughout the annex project as well as those outlots on the Walmart site. The specific plan will deal with the color and materials. This is some of the examples of those details that will be built into the plan. And then signage of a coordinated signage plan. They're also proposing a 50-foot...
I had talked to Mr. Fred Collins, who is representing the Northern Chumash Tribe, and I would like to grant him 5 minutes because he is a primary stakeholder, and he may go first. And then I'd like to have our youngest member have the next opportunity because I believe she probably would like to go home and go to bed.
Thank you, Mayor, council members, commissioners, staff. Fred Collins, Tribal Administrator, Northern Chumash Tribal Council. I'm here today to talk about something that seems to have been, left out of this whole process, and that's how Walmart treats the Native American community and indigenous people worldwide. It is our opinion that the corporate structure is a criminal corporate structure in dealing with the Native Americans. I also want to mention to here today that we have two members from our community. We have Venice Forte. She is the chairperson for the Coastal Band, representing over 2,000 Chumash. We also have Lou Silva, who is recognized as an elder and one of the chiefs of the Chumash Nation. In taking up this, our opinion of the criminal corporate structure that Walmart exhibits towards the Native Americans, I prepared a statement, and this also will be passed out to you folks as our comments to this point. Sometime back in the 80s, when Walmart built the Paso Robles Walmart, the Native Americans were treated horribly. Walmart bulldozed us. We didn't get the support of the Paso Robles Council, and so therefore we lost tremendous ground up there. And it continues. It continues to this day. I'm going to read a statement here, and we'll go from there. The Northern Chumash Tribal Council will not support the Walmart project in the city of Atascadero. It is the opinion of the Northern Chumash Tribal Council, the Chumash Nation, that Walmart is not the type of company we want in the city of Atascadero. They have committed unbelievable atrocities against the Native American communities across the U.S. and around the world. Is my time correct here?
No, it's not working.
As leaders of the community, we need to show the next generation how greed will not overcome the protection of all races and individual rights. And this is not what Walmart has shown. It is our opinion that we need to send a message to Walmart that their ethnic cleansing ways will not be tolerated in San Luis Obispo County or the city of Atascadero. Examples. Walmart attempts to cover up ancient burial site in asphalt. In the early 1990s, Walmart stores wanted to bulldoze a large Indian burial mound that they said was blocking the motorist view of the stores along the freeway in Paso Robles. I can't believe that this is the kind of attitude that we have. After spiritual leaders of the Chumash and Salinian nations rallied to protect their ancestral burial sites, plans to cover the one-acre mound area with asphalt were scrapped. That's the National Catholic Reporter, 12/9/94. Walmart construction under 64 Native Hawaiian remains. During the construction of Sam's Club and Walmart Superstore in Hawaii, workers found 64 sets of remains in 2007. 3 years after being unearthed, the remains still sat locked up in a trailer underneath a parking ramp awaiting reburial. This is unheard of. In 1996, Walmart sought to build a new store on a sacred Mohican protest at destroying the Mexicans' indigenous heritage. Not only did Walmart's store destroy the cultural heritage of the land, it destroyed alfalfa and cornfields, which were raised to make their way for the big box store. Newsday, 11/7/04. Walmart supplied mined green gold from western Shoshone land. The gold for Walmart's new Love Earth jewelry was mined by Newmont on western Shoshone land in Nevada. Walmart relies on Newmont to self-port its compliance with Walmart's sustainability principles, such as Walmart has never met with a western Shoshone and no independent monitoring has been required. Global Action Response 908. United Nations criticized these mining operations. The United Nations Committee on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination has ruled in favor of the Western Shoshone and told the United States to freeze and desist and stop from further mining and other destructive activities. Newmont has immediately notified of the decision and has yet done nothing to address the impact of their operations on the ongoing human rights violations. Walmart Construction Superstandard intrudes on ancient Aztec ruins and destroys farmland. Stockholders angered by Walmart's desecration of Native American grave sites. Walmart disrupts a Native American historical site during the construction of a super center in Charlotte Pike in Nashville. The excavation of Native graves began in February 1998, and in the end, the remains of 154 individuals had been taken from the graves and moved. Construction of the Nashville Walmart leads to Native American protest. In 1989, the opening of Nashville Superstore was met with protests from the city's Native American community and their supporters. This goes on and on. It's absolutely amazing how many disrespectful, and in our opinion, criminal corporate dealings that Walmart deals with the indigenous people worldwide. It is absolutely unbelievable. This is not something that we want to show our children and our grandchildren here in the city of Atascadero. I think that what we want to show is that we need to come out of this troubled times that we're in now. And by coming out of this troubled times means not to to depend on greed over substance. And substance is respect for each other, respect for Mother Earth, respect for our children, and allowing a pathway to the future. So in my closing remarks, I would like to say we do not support this project, and we need to look in our children and grandchildren in the eye and to know that we've made the right and the difficult.
I'm sorry. Your time is up.
We do not support this project.
Thank you, sir.
Good evening. I'm Zandra Flores, and I live in Atascadero. I am worried about
having... Could you pull it down just a little more for her? Yeah.
Good evening, I'm Zandra Flores. I live in Atascadero. I am worried about having so many empty buildings in town, and that means no business, and that equals no taxes and no money coming to the city. I hope when Walmart and the theaters come to town, it will be better and we'll have more taxes and money for the city. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Flores.
Hi, Walmart, because Walmart's not even here. I found that before, all the businesses seemed to be in favor of the Walmart project. They wanted to come here. I think we need to get some revenue in this town. I would like to see us remain a city and not go back into the county because we can't afford to pay our bills and stuff like that. I think this is a great opportunity. No disrespect to the Native Americans and all that and all the peoples. I think Walmart is trying to be a good neighbor to us, and hopefully we'll make situations in the past good, you know, and with respect to all people. And I don't think Atascadero is ever going to be a runaway city as far as a big shopping thing, but a lot of people that have to ride buses, they don't have transportation and stuff. They have to go to Paso. They have to go to San Luis. No disrespect to Paso or to San Luis, but I think we all want to spend our money here. We want to support our own community here and have jobs for our kids. Our kids are getting out of school. They don't have any jobs. Our people here, they don't have jobs. You know, we'd like to keep everything in the community. This is a wonderful community, a beautiful town, and I really think we really need this project. And to me, it looks really good. The only other thing I would say, if we could talk Olive Garden into coming here, we'd be that much better off. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson.
Good evening, Michael Adner. I'd like to say a few words about Class 5 impacts and make a formal suggestion for an alternative. And I have to take exception to Councilman O'Malley's comment that now that we finally have a plan and we have our first opportunity to participate in looking at what we're actually going to have, now is not the time to end discussion. Now is not the time to look at options. Now is the time that we're actually going to build and move forward. Now is the time that citizens need to be involved and look at what we're going to live with for the rest of our lives and for generations to come. This is a business transaction between Walmart and Atascadero. Both organizations have opportunity to gain and exploit one another because that's the nature of business transactions. So hopefully we can come up with a decision that maximizes the profits for all involved. And so I want to really encourage citizens to be a part of this process. Now is the time to take this seriously. And in the spirit of that, I would like to submit a formal recommendation for an alternative that would consider placing some solar panels in the parking lot. Three companies that provide this sort of technology have been contacted, all of whom have worked with Walmart in the past. And one of which has even offered to provide the technology and the work up front. And so this is a project that could not only save Walmart substantial funds, but it, more importantly, it could contribute to the economic development project that that Atascadero is taking part of, and it fits within the objectives of the economic development plan, which the city council unanimously supported and paid for with our money, and which we need to use to guide our decision making. That's what it's there for. That's why we have the plan. So concerning impacts, not only can Walmart increase its efficiency in terms of energy savings, but it can a green Walmart, and my understanding is that this is already a high efficiency store, and so what we ought to be doing as a community is looking for, more importantly, from my perspective, I think that if the city worked with the private sector, with educators.
Mr. Lattner, could you wrap it, please?
Yes. That this is a business proposition that could benefit all involved, and so I suggest that the EIR program take that into account. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
And I'll submit this to the council now, and I'll also send electronic copies to the planning commissioners and the council members. Thanks.
Good evening, Randy Lawrence.
Echoing Mr. Colomarino's concerns about a box store district, when you consider that the space, the area space that Walmart is being placed here is half the size that it is, the space is for the Walmart in Paso, half the size of the space for Target, half the size of the Costco space down in San Luis Obispo, I think there's every reason to be concerned that this may be the beginning of a box store district. When you consider that 20 movie theaters are being even considered to be put into a very close area, I think there's every reason to expect that all kinds of possibilities can happen. And the one specific question I wanted to ask of each of the council members, because we've talked in vagaries, but we know that stores are going to close when Walmart comes in. And I would like to know if any of you think that Kmart can survive that. And not that I am in any way affiliated with Kmart, but my greater concern is what's going to happen to that space where Kmart is now when it closes, which it almost assuredly will do when Walmart comes in. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lawrence.
Name is Bob Martz, resident of Tascadero for about 10 years. And about half of that time in these halls here, we have heard all of the arguments for and against Walmart for over 4 to 5 years. I'm sure that tonight is a microcosm of some of the negative aspects of it. But we've just heard repeat after repeat after repeat of all of the arguments. Basically, we had an election. Overwhelmingly was in favor of Walmart. The character of the present city council was a reflection of what the people want. So I'm going to keep my comments really brief. Please get out of their way and let Walmart proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Martz.
Lee Perkins in Atascadero. And I also agree with Commissioner Colmarino and Dr. Lawrence's comment about the possible cumulative impacts of a big box magnet in that area. And it was brought up another time that the area across 101 from this area should also be looked at because it's also slated for commercial development. So I hope that will also be considered in the possible cumulative impact of the adjoining area. I'm concerned about the architectural style. It's very different from the just listening more colony style that was originally presented to the community of Atascadero. And the architectural refinement that we see now really is a sequence of boxes. Annex, it was mentioned what businesses would be in the annex. I heard drive-through and commercial businesses. I did not hear the word restaurant. And as you all know, and as someone previously mentioned, they'd like an Olive Garden. I don't know how many people have come up to this lectern and asked for restaurants, not drive-thrus. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Perkins. And I would ask those in the back that are talking to take it out in the lobby, please.
Good evening, Madam Mayor and City Council members. I'm Tina Santos, and I have not been a thorn on our leftists for the last 6 months or so, but I listen to KPIL when we have City Council meetings. I'm out of the collar, so I'm going to take my jacket off. For 4 years, we have been hearing Marxists attacking Walmart viciously over and over and over and over. People voted, almost 70% of the people of Atascadero want a Walmart. And I want to thank tonight Walmart for not giving up on us. You have been kicked below the belt, both in front and in the back, and that hurts. And I'm surprised that Walmart still wants to come to Atascadero. I have said it before, we live in a free country. If you don't like Walmart, keep your ugly and mean faces away from Walmart. But those of us who want it, let us have a Walmart. If you've been reading letters in the Atascadero paper, young students from Atascadero High School, they want Walmart. They need jobs. I have one of my sons who couldn't get a job around there. He's in Illinois, and I miss him terribly. He's been there 2 years. He hates the weather there, but he couldn't get a job here. My daughter is in the Bay Area looking for a job. And my youngest son is in college. They need, Atascadero needs opportunities. We need jobs. We need people who care about this town. And the majority of you in the city council do care about this town. You want what's best. Denny's closed. Walmart didn't close Denny's. Village Cafe closed. The downtown Jack in the Box closed. Stop blaming Walmart for everything. It's just outrageous that people have such anger towards a store that provides jobs, provides goods at very reasonable prices. And I'm just fed up because the same tired old people come over here with their Marxist-minded ideas. They're very annoying, and they think they're only the ones that love the environment. All of us love the environment. And before I close, I wish to say this. You and I will be buried and stinking underground, and the world's still going on. Are you assuming that you are God? I can't stand it. These people who fund a religion, an earth religion, they think they're only the only ones who love this earth. All of us want to preserve this earth. I have property in Atascadero. I have planted 40 trees. And I love my trees, and I go there every day. I don't talk to them or do a dance around them or hug them, but I water them. So it's about time that after 4 years of wasted time that we take action and proceed with as soon as possible to get a Walmart. I want to shop there before I drop dead. And I want to be there, and I want to greet even those that hate me, you know, that hate Walmart will be kind to you. I'll even buy coffee that day that it opens. I love Walmart, and apparently the majority of people do. And there are those who are trying to get in the city council. Be aware of them, because we know where their likes and dislikes are. So when we have election this coming, I think, November, some of you are, I tell the good people of Atascadero, wise up, because the enemy never gives up.
Santos, thank you. Mr. Santos, thank you. Call home. So as long as Walmart selflessly supports my brothers and sisters in uniform, I will support Walmart. I do support our Atascadero Walmart project. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Jordan.
My name is Sonia Serra. I'm a resident of Atascadero. I live on Santa Cruz on the west side of the freeway. In the last 10 days, I've been to Walmart twice in Paso. We were preparing for a camping trip with the family, and they have what I needed and wanted at good prices. I have shopped at Kmart. I don't know what's going to happen to Kmart when Walmart comes in, but in my mind, they deserve to go out of business. The prices are high. Customer service leaves something to be desired. My husband did make a fast trip for live bait, and they were half dead, so we had to go back to Walmart. The first trip to Walmart with our list for everything from camping fuel to diapers for my granddaughter who was going to be going with us, Jiffy peanut butter, you name it. They had what we needed. The prices were good. Good customer service, returns are no problem. I've come to these meetings and heard Walmart being called evil and, you know, they don't provide health care for their employees and so forth. While working at Twin Cities Hospital, I verified many Walmart employees' insurance, and they had great benefits. Yes, they have part-time employees, but you check at our local Bank of America and find out how many of those employees are part-time and how many have full benefits. I believe that, the first trip to Walmart with our list, we were there at lunchtime, so we had lunch at Panda Express, which is in front of Walmart. It was convenient. The second time we went to Walmart, we were there late, picking up last-minute things, and we stopped at the sushi place on First and Spring before we got on the freeway and ate. And all of those dollars could have stayed here. We never even had to go into Atascadero. So I fully support this project. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Sarah.
Good evening. Tom Colmar from Atascadero. I'll finish what I was planning to say the other, because I thought it related to the to the impacts that we'll probably see, and we've seen with the impacts that have been with developments of this size and other all over the country. And so what I would suggest is that the city council, once you get your findings, that you think about the following. One is that the proposed building cannot be expanded in the future, that Walmart would not be allowed to return for a variance to expand, that Walmart would pay a minimum of $3 million contribution into a traffic impact fund, that there would be no overnight deliveries would be allowed and no idling delivery trucks. No trash compactors would be used after 10 p.m. at night.
Omar?
Hello, my name is Ron Rothman. I live in the Tascadero. You know, I think at this point, we all should be concerned with getting the best project possible, and that's with the intent that I come here. I would like to see the best project for Tascadero, and that's why I bring up the issues, not to throw a cog in somebody's wheel, but if people that say that they want a Walmart here, they should be just as concerned that it's done so that everyone benefits from this. So up to this point, we've always heard that there isn't a proposal, a concrete proposal, and now we're giving a proposal here. I went to the open house. I asked the question, what was going to be the off-site improvements on El Camino and Del Rio, and I was told that that was the city's concerns and that wasn't in this project. So I'm asking right now, the entrance on the south end of El Camino, the entrance into Walmart, is that going to be a signal intersection, or is that going to be stop signs, or what is going to take place there? I don't see it on the map exactly what's happening. The other entrance to the annex, what is the proposal there? Are they proposing signaling that intersection, or is that just going to be a four-way stop? Or, I mean, I don't know what's taking place there. And interestingly, the map kind of fades out towards the west, and you don't see the Del Rio overpass. And so is that in the discussion? Is there any proposal at this time? Are there any alternatives? I mean, these things have to be addressed, not out of some plot to, you know, derail a project, but to see that we get the best project. And if the argument up here from the council and some people in the audience is just let this get this over with, we don't need any more discussion, that's the wrong attitude to take at this point. I think we all have to work together. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rothman.
George Frost, Santa Margarita. I think I mentioned a little earlier that I had worked at the Office Depot store that located there at the Mission Oaks Annex, and it did suffer an impact from the delays with the Walmart project, and that was a business that came into town anticipating the anchor of the Walmart store and the population coming into town. I worked with about 18 individuals, some of them fresh out of high school, and I enjoyed working with them. It was an extraordinary experience for me since I'm normally a sheet metal worker. Night of a city council meeting, I was here, and they were announced because of the recession and the fact that they didn't have their anchor that they're closing the next day. And there are other impacts that, you know, do affect the lack of a Walmart. And there's a Big Five down there struggling, waiting for that anchor. A few other stores, even the Big Lots, can still use the support of the anchor of this sort. Again, several of the nice restaurants we find up there in the Paso Market where the Walmart's at are we can hope we can see some of those, and Panda Express, Olive Tree, Olive Garden. You know, those are things that the community is going to absorb, and it's going to grow out and beyond the impact of the Walmart here on this corner. Like I said, my Office Depot store didn't plan accordingly. They didn't anticipate this, and I watched a lot of people have to find new jobs. So I just encourage this thing to move forward as quickly as possible.
Thank you, Mr. Shroff.
And I've seen my way to have a home or get anywhere, I had to go elsewhere to find a job because none of the pay for ordinary labor workers was enough to buy a home or hardly pay your bills or anything like that. So the working class of Atascadero has always suffered a lack of enough money to really purchase properly. One of the things is shame for us to have to go to Paso Robles or someplace else to a cheaper store so we can get by with our bills. This would help a little bit in Tascadero. And, of course, it will provide some jobs for Walmart will. I'm not in a complete improvement of Walmart's business policies, but that's not my business. All I'm worried about is something gets cheap enough so I can afford to get by. And this is the way it would have been with most of the working class of this town, the laboring class. I've had to go elsewhere to make a living, and at times I made a very good living. But I'm used to being poor, and I'm used to being wanting to go to a place where it's a little bit less than being ripped off by high prices. So with a beautiful town like this and a very fortunate life that I've had, not for money, I'm very fortunate. And one of the fortunate things is to have a few stores come in here where the price is a little bit like food for less or something like that, where I can afford to buy the groceries. And it's very important to the working class of this people to have enough money to get by. And the way it's always been, especially with the oil companies, we get ripped off by gas prices. That money, extra money that they didn't need to get from us, could have been spent at some little store to keep it in business. A lot of places go out of business because of being ripped off by high prices that people can't afford to buy elsewhere, to other businesses, and spread their money. Well, I'm not one to spread very much money. I never had it. But I think it's very important for us to have places where you can buy food and things you need for a little bit less.
Thank you, Mr. Porter. Your time is up.
That's long enough. Thanks for listening, and good night.
Could I say something, Roberta?
Why don't we wait? Well, I think he's the last.
Okay. Maybe. Yeah.
If you want to go ahead.
Well, I'd just like to say Mr. Porter is one of my heroes. He's been honored. He's a World War II veteran, shot right through the head, a great swimmer, saved people out at the lake. He's one of my heroes, and he was honored, I believe, Roberta, by the county. So he's a great man right there that just spoke, believe me.
Thank you, Mr. Clay.
I have to follow that. Anyway, my name's Gary Kirkland, and I'm talking in favor of Walmart here. One of the things that my church, which is the Methodist church down at the end of town, one of the things we teach at our church is that we should light a candle, not curse the darkness. And I hear people here.
Council, Planning Commission, Mayor, staff. My name is Donald Cross. I live here in Tascadero. I'm getting very concerned about Walmart just getting up and abandoning this project along with the Rothman Group. We have all these DO8 folks in here saying the same thing over and over again, wanting to make sure that all these things are considered under the EIR, which were right up there on the screen. And have been talked about over and over again. And that's what the EIR is all about, is to, bring all this to the forefront and make all these considerations. And I think it's just all a stall tactic. Just like someone said, 2 to 5 years. And if this goes on for another 2 to 5 years, believe me, that field will be empty there. That lot will be empty, and there will be nothing in there. So that's all I had to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cross. Last chance. Very good. I'm going to close the public comment portion, and I need to take a break, so I'm going to allow you to as well. Let's come back at 25 till the hour. Okay, we have closed the public comment portion. We're bringing it back to the council and commission for discussion or for questions. Does anyone have any comments? Mr. Schmidt.
Yes, before we had public comment and the project was being reviewed, one of the things that kind of came in my mind was the signage questions. And then Warren showed that the idea of there maybe being a monument sign that would be placed along the highway. I guess my questions have to do with, I guess, is that the link through the annex to the highway is how we're putting the sign in that area. I'm trying to figure out how a highway sign can comport with our sign ordinance where you're supposed to have freeway frontage, and or will there be a specific requirement within the specific plan that will allow for that monument sign to or that highway sign to be placed somewhere along the highway?
Yeah, the specific plan basically creates a special zoning district or zoning ordinance. For
scoping study. We need to know what the people of the community are concerned with. And I've been through hundreds of environmental impact reports. And that's exactly what the environmental impact report was designed to do, to answer those questions. To answer those questions with people that have the proper credentials and the background and the experience to tell us what the difference is between hearsay, innuendo, and fact. And once we get all those facts, that's when we make a determination of what Walmart's going to pay for, what the city's going to pay for, and how the two are going to work together to bring about the satisfaction of a need in our community. That's for our citizens. 70% of them stated that they wanted a Walmart so they could shop in town. That's the only reason I haven't said anything up until now, is that that's why we're going to go through this whole process. Those answers will come forth, and some of you will like them, and some of you will hate them. But that's real life. But I want to let you know I'm appreciative of everyone coming here tonight and letting us know what your opinions are. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Sturtevant. Excuse me, Commissioner Sturtevant.
I just a question about the food portion of the Walmart. What size is a typical retail food store like a Vons or an Albertsons? Does anybody know? Typical square footage?
I don't really have an exact number. I think typically they're around 50,000 square feet, but those stores usually have pharmacies and a lot of general merchandise mixed into it. So I think the grocery component roughly is probably about 30,000 square feet in a modern supermarket.
Okay, and the food portion of this looks like about 21,500. So I was just curious how that related to the other food stores in town.
It'll be a full service grocery store with fresh produce and the butcher and everything else. So it'll be a full service.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Clay?
Yeah, I think Mr. Benz hit it right on the nose, and I certainly appreciate everybody that got up and voiced their concerns. I do have a kind of request. I keep hearing this Olive Garden, Olive Garden, Olive Garden, and I don't have the power to do it, the strength, but I'm sure there's someone out there that would be willing to get up a petition, and get signatures and petition Olive Garden to come to Atascadero. And I'm just planting that seed, and I hope it grows, because I hear this all the time from the public. And the question about Kmart in Rio Grande, Kmart is on the same road as Walmart is, and it is flourishing. I think that who knows? It may even enhance Kmart if we do in fact get a Walmart. Certainly, there's a lot of comments about traffic, and there'll be an extensive traffic study, I'm sure. So a lot of those questions will be answered. And an observation, it took 400 days to build the Empire State Building, and it may take 4, 5, 6 years to...
Stated, the environmental impact report is how you get the answers to your questions. I've heard questions for the last 4 years. It appears that they all fit into the categories that folks that do large EIRs have experienced before, and I'm seeing a nod from the consultant that every question we've heard fits one of the categories they're already planning on studying. So we could have had answers to our questions sooner or later, but when you start the process is when you'll get the answers. And I think it's important to do that as a community, and I think it's important to consider a lot of alternatives. I think we could all say what we don't like and work against something in our community. I remember being on council and the controversy was sunken gardens. We even argued over that. But I think everybody ought to get something. Some folks want a performing arts center. Some folks like sunken gardens. We want to work towards Stadium Park. And some folks want a Walmart. Is that correct, Mr. Clay?
I think you're right about that, Tom.
So the way we find out how, if we can provide these things for our community in a way that mitigates any problems that are associated and we come out at least breaking even or ahead on the deal as we go through the process. So, again, I would just thank you that we are finally starting.
Thank you. Councilmember Bayrou.
So I guess now we're giving comments specific to this project, correct?
Yes.
And one thing I remember is when we first started with the annex concept that we were going to have a similar architectural style but on all three corners, Mission Oaks, the annex portion, and the Walmart portion. And it sounds like, or it looks like, Walmart is doing what it wants to do. And I wanted to encourage Walmart to consider the other sides of their store other than just the front side of the store to incorporate some of the elements that are going to be at the annex. I noticed they have green walls, which I assume is trellises with vines on it, more architectural detail to kind of break up the mass of a 130,000 square foot store. So I'm going to encourage that. And I didn't realize that there wasn't going to be any representative from the Walmart store tonight, and I am concerned, and Mayor Fonzie did bring this up, the pedestrian access to the store from the bus stop. It's not really clear to me how they're going to get to the front of the store. And there's two bike racks. It's a big store. I don't know how big those bike racks are, but it just doesn't seem like there's enough accommodation for people who aren't going to be driving their car to come to the store. I also, looking at the layout of the Walmart, if you look along ECR, there's only one access to the project from El Camino Real, and I understand that's going to be a signalized intersection there. That's directly across from Big Five, if I'm correct. And I know from going to other big shopping centers, having a focus like that could be kind of awkward, and I am concerned about the number of people who will be using Del Rio, which certainly would have to be greatly widened to accommodate that level of traffic. So that is a concern of mine. They did mention...
Commissioner Moreno.
There were several individuals in the public that mentioned concern, or not concern, but, you know, solar panels, things like that. And I recall when we had a meeting maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago, when Walmart brought a representative, and I think he was one of their architects, something like that, and he talked about the buildings nowadays that Walmart does with the I think it was sort of skylighting and internal like solar that, you know, as it got darker outside, it adjusted the light and was very energy efficient. Is that still going to be part of this project? Just because a lot of people are bringing that up, and I recall that quite vividly, and I wonder if that's being incorporated here.
Yeah, the skylight light harvesting system is part of the proposed building, and as part of the notice of preparation, there is an extensive list of the energy efficiency, recycled materials, that sort of thing that will be incorporated into the building. Solar panels is not included in the project.
Thank you, Director.
I got one other thing.
Councilmember Clay?
Yeah, Ellen mentioned the open house, and certainly I want to thank everybody that went to the open house. I thought that was a big success. I did take the time to read through the 80 comments. There were some great suggestions, and I found that other than three or four, they were all very positive towards the project. Certainly this thing has evolved over the years that we've been dealing with it, and I hope that we get an opportunity to get the EIR completed and an opportunity to examine the mitigating factors and make a decision at some point in the near future. Thank you.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes, and I wanted to talk about a comment that I brought up when I went to the open house meeting, and it had to do with the view shed from the east looking to the west, and we all understand that those houses behind the Walmart and what they're going to see, and there was a comment earlier about having a sound wall in that area. I'm wondering about the height of the parapets on top of the building and how much mechanical equipment may or may not be seen from those houses up above. Because if I was in that area and I had to look down on the roof and see mechanicals and so on, I wouldn't be very happy about that. So I wanted to make sure that will be looked at and considered, please.
Thank you. Any other comments? Councilmember O'Malley.
Thank you. As I did at the last session, I did receive another email fairly late in the day of someone who wanted a comment included. This is from Jay DeCue, and all he says, I would like to go on record as supporting the addition of a Walmart and annex project at the north end of Atascadero. So I'll just submit that too for the record. And again, I don't want to go into the detail now, but I understand that many of these questions have been answered. For example, the plan, the stormwater management plan and the retention basins, all of that was discussed before at meetings when these questions will come up, plans are still in place, for example?
Yeah, they have a full engineer.
If it could at least be on the website so people can be aware. And I would like a copy.
Okay. I think he will get that to you shortly. I'm going to go ahead.
I'll get that information to you.
Very good. Any other comments or questions? Seeing none, I'm going to wrap it up. I appreciate you coming, everyone in the public. You've been very courteous. I would hope that you will stay involved with this process. We need your comments and your attention all the way through it. The EIR is a big document. It has a lot of information. We have a lot of questions, and these questions will be addressed. So I hope that you will stick with us, and I appreciate your attendance again tonight. With that, I'm going to adjourn the special meeting and bring it back to the City Council. That will conclude the time that the Planning Commission needs to stay at the dais. Thanks. Okay, bringing it back to our regular meeting, is there any council announcements or reports? And first would be Council Member Bob Kelly.
Yes, I'd like to request that the City Council reconsider their direction to staff at the May 11th, 2010 regular session under item C1 to prepare an economic analysis of 20 theaters in Atascadero with a cost up to $10,000. I voted yes on that evening, and I believe that was right around 11:30, 11:45, and that had been about 16 or 17 hours into my work day. And after the meeting on the way home, I could kick myself for doing that. One is the city doesn't have the money to do it, and I personally believe there's enough information there. And all I would like to do is just to bring it back up so I could change my vote.
Question for our city manager, does this require that we vote on the ability to change your vote, or how is this normally handled?
I believe you have to vote to have a reconsideration, then you would re-vote on the item, and are you giving me a different look?
I have a question on that.
I want to make sure you're getting it right.
Given my legal opinion, correct, then you would vote again, and council would give Councilmember Kelly the opportunity to vote against.
Got it. Councilmember O'Malley?
Yeah, my question would be, we are reconsidering the motion, which means we would open up for discussion about the economic analysis and and we could change the motion. We could do anything with that at that time if we do reconsider it.
Yes, it's a two-step process. The first vote is, are you going to reconsider, yes or no? And then if you do reconsider, then the second issue would be whether or not you're going to require an economic study, and if so, if the city's going to pay for it.
Okay, and do both topics require a public input time, or just on the second one if we reconsider?
Well, they're separate items, so you should allow the public to comment. You should treat them, inquire of the public if anybody wants to speak on the question of whether to reconsider or not. And if you have public, they speak, and then you can discuss it and vote. And if you don't have public, then you can just discuss it and vote without public input.
Okay, thank you. Before we open it to the public, is there any other questions regarding procedures before we start this? Councilmember Bayrou.
So this could balloon into a complete discussion about La Plaza again. Is that correct?
No.
No.
No, that's not correct.
If the motion is changed, we could enter a whole new discussion.
Well, as I said, the first issue is reconsideration. If you vote yes to reconsider the vote, then you go to your next issue, and it's on your agenda. And the only issue that would be before you if you have voted to reconsider would be whether or not to require an economic study, and if so, if the city is going to pay for it. And those would be the only issues to be addressed, and none of the other issues.
Well, I have a question. You said that the city is going to pay for it. What if we reconsider the motion and change how it's paid for?
You can do that.
Okay,
thank you. It's on the agenda. I believe that's within your discretion.
And in terms of public comment, does that need to be limited in any way, or they are open to talk on any subject regarding La Plaza?
They're not entitled to speak to any issue on La Plaza in connection with this agenda item. They are entitled to speak to the agenda item, and the agenda item is more narrow than La Plaza. It's on the specific issue of the economic study.
Thank you. Very good. I will open it up to the public. The question is whether we should reconsider a vote on or allowing a change of vote.
Hi, Mike Latner, Atascadero. I'm looking for a point of clarification on what the reasoning is behind the reconsideration of the vote. And I'd just like to reiterate, if the city is still considering doing the economic or the feasibility study, which I argued in favor of when it was considered the first time, I'd like to reiterate that it's a necessary and an important part of this decision, since you have conflicting data and arguments. And I'd also like to reiterate that I'm serious about offering to do the job for cheap. I've done a number of feasibility studies. This is a pretty straightforward study, and I'll do it not for free, but for half price. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Latner.
Excuse me. Perhaps I, based on what I just heard, need to clarify. The only issue now that's open for public discussion is not whether or not to have an economic study or not, or who pays for it or not. The only issue right now that the public would be commenting on would be whether or not there should be a reconsideration of that vote. Depending upon how the council decides that issue, if they vote to reconsider, then the next issue would be the merits of the motion on the economic study.
With that said, Mr. Latner, if you'd like to speak on the specific subject, you may get in line again, but we'll move on.
Good evening, Mayor Fauci, City Council members. I greatly respect Mr. Kelly's concern for this, and I do recognize it was a 4-1 vote, not foreseeing a change in the decision, but maybe the content of the decision. So I want to remain with the direction of an economic study.
Thank you. Of Atascadero, and I would like to see a reconsideration of the vote. Thank you. Thank you.
My name is Chuck Ward. In all due respect to Councilman Kelly, I think we should not reconsider the vote. I think there was a fair hearing. The City Council expressed themselves, and I think we should take it at that. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Latner, last call.
Chuck Ward.
Very good.
Would anyone else like to speak on this? Seeing none, I'll close the public comment portion, bring it back for discussion or a motion.
I'd like to make a motion that we reconsider the vote.
I'll second the motion.
Been moved by Councilmember Kelly and seconded by Councilmember O'Malley. Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Excuse me, yes.
Councilmember Bayrou?
No.
Mayor Fonzie?
Yes.
Motion passes 4-1.
Very good. Now, I'd like to get some direction again from our council. Again, could you reiterate our next step?
Yes, now you are going to be reconsidering the vote. So the vote that you took at your last meeting is now open for reconsideration.
And do we need to open this to the public comment one more time, or we're going to talk about the economic portion of this?
You can open it. You should open public comment now, now that you've voted to reconsider. So now what is before you is the vote itself on the economic study and the financing of the economic study. And the public, you should allow public comment on this.
Well, my question is, should we allow public comment after we discuss it, or...
My suggestion is you allow public comment before you discuss it. That way, when you do discuss it, you'll have had the benefit of their input.
Okay, so I will try to reinterpret this. We're going to consider whether we want to have an economic study, number one, and we will be considering how it will be paid for, number two. Let's open it to the public comment.
Madam Mayor, members of the council, my name is Chuck Ward. I live in Atascadero. My name has not changed since I was up here a few minutes ago. I was a voice in the wilderness many, many weeks ago requesting that there be an economic evaluation. This proposed second theater has a major impact on the Colony Square project. One of the big areas of public concern, if you read the letters to the editor and just talk to people in the street, they think it's crazy having a second theater. Many people don't believe it can economically be viable, and it might end up with two movie theaters going belly up. I can think of no compelling reason why there should not be an economic study. The question is at rest. A lot of questions and concerns that exist in the city. So I urge you to just look at this from a common sense point of view and say, let's get an economic study. It'll give us some answers. And let's settle the issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ward.
Good evening, City Council, Mayor Fonzie, George Schroff, Santa Margarita. First of all, I want to thank the City Council for slowing down the process for the La Plaza theaters and initiating an economic study to obtain some valuable information. The value of the informed decisions is greatly displayed with the decision, and my regret is that the applicant for the conditional use permit declined to demonstrate his confidence in his project with an opportunity to support a study evaluating the economic ability of his project in Atascadero. I would like to encourage you to continue with an economic study as this process continues. It's beginning a little by little to unravel. I hear the applicant quiet his declaration that he intends to compete with the New Galaxy Theaters and undermine their ability to meet their expectations of Atascadero. I hear him say he may approach landowners north of these theaters to build upon their property compared to acquiring the property to become part of his project. I hear he intends to sell property to support this project and then realize that the necessary funds may not be in order to start or complete this project. Financing is in doubt, and this property may never be improved upon if financing fails in this project. It is not a matter of being business friendly. It is a matter of being business smart. For years, the youth of this community has been crying out for a theater so they can watch the movies at home. Atascadero is just a few months away from answering their wishes. A bird in the hand is worth more than two in the bush.
Thank you, Mr. Schroff.
Lee Perkins, Atascadero. The Planning Commission attached adequate conditions to the CUP for the La Plaza project. The sooner the CUP is approved by the city, the sooner Rausch and Associates can go forward and present the city with more concrete plans for approval. The $10,000 study cannot possibly project theater usage that will include innovative entertainment such as opera, independent films, and Super Bowl screening because this is breaking new ground. This expense would have no guarantee of an accurate outcome, and finally, the city cannot afford such a risky expense. I look forward to the opening of both these projects, and I am disappointed that Galaxy has threatened the city with an unlikely pullout if the City Council grants a COP to La Plaza. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Perkins.
Len Colomarino, Atascadero. I understand why the original idea of having the economic study was approved. It had appeal. I mean, I sat there and thought having an economic study sounded like a pretty good idea. And objectively, maybe it is, but I don't know that it really has a practical benefit. The fact is that you can get an economic study that tells you somebody's view that they consider objective, that this is going to work or it's not going to work, but really, so what? So then you may have some Olympian idea of whether it should or should not work. So whether you have the economic study or you don't, and whatever it says, there's still Galaxy and its positions. And if those positions are going to be maintained by Galaxy, there's the possibility, assuming that they have the legal right, that they may withdraw. And then there's the possibility that the La Plaza theaters may not get built. And then we have a worst-case scenario unfolding where there is no theater in Atascadero. So to me, that is something that really needs to be looked at very carefully, just what Galaxy will do, might do, can do. And the economic analysis, which I think, as I say, is very well-intentioned, and it had surface appeal to me, too, when it was discussed a couple weeks ago, I just don't think it really will be decisive here or will even really help you that much in getting to the right conclusion. And since money is not readily available for so many things, I think it's better to keep the money. And if somebody wants to, one of the applicants, or if the applicant for this project wants to do it, Galaxy wants to do it, so be it. You get the benefit of it. But I don't think it should be required, and I certainly don't think the city should pay for it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Colomarino.
Tom Colmar, Atascadero. I agree also with Mr. Colomarino. I do not feel that an economic study would provide any useful data to compare theater to theater. When you're talking about something like Walmart coming in, well, that's a big project. It's required by law to have an economic study because you know there are going to be impacts. You can't tell from an economic study when you don't know with the theaters whether there's going to be impact or not on either of them. And I think the presentation about La Plaza, number one, it allows a lot of different options for the citizens of Atascadero. Two, it will seal off that downtown and pretty much finish it off. When we get Colony Square going, that going, and what we have along Entrada and the other stores there. So I don't think the city. I mean, you know, the city didn't do an economic environmental study for some of the other projects. You know, that went in. I don't know if Colony Square had that, and I don't believe Galaxy. I know them personally. They're a very competitive, aggressive company. And you have to ask yourself, who benefits from what? Galaxy benefits from slowing this down or stopping this whole project. They're in competition. Well, I mean, I think all of you believe in competition. You're business friendly. Let it happen. Let them both build. Give the CUP. Let them put the project together and come back. And if you can't get everything that's there, then the La Plaza won't go forward. But to be so afraid from this Galaxy Theater. Now, they knew they were going to come in and make money here. They, you know, but they want to be the only one. They don't want to share anything. And I think if you look at the movie business and what you say, when you have one theater in town, all you get are the major movies from your distributors. You can't play the other movies that are out there, like at the Palm or other places.
You need to make these decisions. But if you do need to order an economic feasibility study, I would like to request that it would contain the following information, because I don't think that it can be done just simply saying, would 20 theaters, would 20 screens work? It cannot be a boilerplate economic feasibility study talking about 20 screens showing 20 movies. We are talking about 20 different theaters doing these specialty types of movies, as Ms. Perkins mentioned, with the different types of movies it would be showing. In addition, the Super Bowls and additional things that both Mr. Roush and Galaxy said that they would be playing. We're also talking about a performing arts center talking about being there, so the economic feasibility study would have to be addressing that. The study would also have to address having a downtown with a vibrant theater and restaurants in it, in the La Plaza Center, as opposed to what the economy would be like in Atascadero without that, and having either nothing or just piecemeal buildings over on El Camino Real. I mean, all of those things that affect the economy of Atascadero. And if we're really going to do an economic feasibility study, all of those things need to be addressed, because that's the Atascadero we would be looking at. And while Galaxy Theaters really will be bringing a phenomenal thing to Atascadero, and we all look forward to them coming, I don't think one should be at the detriment of another. So I think the economic feasibility study should be addressing all of those items. And if we're really going to be looking at apples for apples and oranges for oranges, that's what we need to be looking at. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Sturdivant.
Good evening. Michael Lattner, Atascadero. This issue is taking on something of a Shakespearean tragedy, it seems. I don't think anyone envies the decision that you have to make, and I think many of us, looking at both the projects, believe that the Roush project is actually the more dynamic and perhaps the more feasible project, although I have to say those who are opponents of doing an economic analysis are half right. Certainly, Mr. Colomarino is right, and the half that he's right about is the important half, because ultimately it's true that the Galaxy Theaters doesn't necessarily care about a feasibility study. They may have made their decision, and if they don't want to compete, then they may pull out, and ultimately that's going to be a factor that you're going to have to deal with, and that makes this that much more important of a decision. I will say, though, that an economic analysis isn't going to give you a final answer either way. What the economic analysis will provide you is with some understanding of the level of risk that you're engaging in. And if we're talking about potential loss and the importance of revenues, the cost of making a bad decision and having one or possibly both of those enterprises fail is going to put an extreme cost on the city. And so I would again urge that this is an important decision. And it's dynamic, and the development that we're looking at has many unique attributes. Those are easily accounted for in a feasibility study. That's what economic analysis and demographic analysis does. And it's a fairly straightforward procedure. It can be explained to a general audience, and it can be done in such a way so that you know exactly how innovative this program is compared to what's being done elsewhere, and you have some idea of what it's going to add in terms of revenues, in terms of the
person at Atascadero. You did not require an economic study from Colony. You did not require an economic study from Rite Aid. You did not require an economic study when Albertsons came to town. And you didn't require an economic study from Galaxy Theaters. And now why are we requiring an economic study from another citizen of Atascadero who is willing to put up $20 million to do what he wants to do in this community? Just does not make sense at all. An economic study is not going to tell you whether he's going to be successful or not. He believes he will be successful, and he's willing to risk his money to be successful. He has 40 years of experience with movie theaters. Galaxy has plenty of experience with movie theaters, too. The American dream is competition benefits everyone. That's the way of doing business in the United States, is with competition. Anytime you spend any of your money where you don't interject any competition, then you deserve to pay a higher price. So I think you should do away with the economic study. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bentz.
John Roush, Central Coast Cinemas. I'm part of the application group for the La Plaza Cinemas. First of all, I'm against an economic study. Actually, I'm against the city spending $10,000 of our money as a taxpayer and my neighbor's taxpayer, neighbor's money, on a feasibility study. I do not believe that the city should have anything to do with the competition that's in a city. The only thing I can hear that Galaxy may pull out of Atascadero if another theater is built. The other thing I heard from City Council was we may be creating blight. We're eliminating three blocks of blight in our city, in an extremely important portion of that city, directly across from the downtown. Galaxy threatens to pull out of the city, and the City Council turned 180 degrees from the decisions they were making at the joint workshop. It is my opinion the Galaxy Theater has a lease with Colony Square. It is recorded with the County of San Luis Obispo. The banks have a $9 million construction loan with Colony Square. It is recorded with the County of San Luis Obispo. The City of Atascadero guarantee $1.5 million on a construction loan without guarantee of a major tenant. Why would three banks guarantee $9 million in construction loans without the guarantee of a major tenant? If that is the case, that they have an out in their lease, I would suggest that the United States bank regulatory agencies and the stockholders of the three banks might be very interested. You were presented by Galaxy Theaters a letter with
Mr.
a couple
Roush,
of...
Mr. could you wrap it up? I'm sorry, you're out of time.
Sorry. Then I have presented a letter to you giving you data on addressing their marketing studies, which I assume... No, Mayor Fonz, you excuse me, I'm sorry. I would like a little more time. At the previous meeting, at public comment for 3 minutes... that we were allowed, Galaxy was permitted to talk for 21. So I would like a little more time, please.
One moment, let's take a vote. Is there a problem or consensus that we would like to allow additional time for Mr. Roush or not? I see a no.
I would give him 3 more minutes.
3 more minutes? 3 more minutes?
I hope it's something new.
Well, You mentioned the lease is recorded. Have you seen that?
I have seen it on the county recorder's website. The lease is recorded.
Okay, but not the lease itself.
They only record an abstract of lease. They don't record the whole lease.
Okay, I think we have consensus. 3 more minutes.
Thank you. I furnished you with a letter, but I'll just touch base so I make sure you understand it. It's addressing. You asked me to address their presentation to you at that City Council meeting. I was not prepared, so I prepared a presentation for you. The Baffin Group methodology, and when they did their market study, was based on national averages. They use $750 per person per ticket. That is a straight calculation of the total box office in 2009 divided by the total number of people in the United States, which come up with $7.50. I'm sure the president of Galaxy Theaters is well aware his average ticket price is far higher than $750 in California. The actual average ticket price in Park Cinemas and Paso Robles year 2010 to date is $9.17. 9.2 in the Baffin study. Visits per person in a trade area, that's 4.73 according to them. That's a straight calculation of the population in the United States divided into the number of tickets in the United States. Distribution in a metropolitan area uses 6 to 7. By the way, in the second, the other study, the economic study, he came up with almost six visits per person. Distribution in a major metropolitan area with a saturation of movie screens uses 6 to 7. I suggest with 20 screens in Atascadero, we will certainly maximize the visits per person in the theater, and I'm using 7. No disagreement with the trade area, 66,683. So the potential box office for Atascadero is 7 times 66,683 times 917, which is $2.9 million, with a gross profit of $850,000 to $900,000 a year. How much does Galaxy Theaters need? It's suggested that someone else do the survey. For an accurate feasibility study, you would have to find a qualified expert. The expert would need a detailed background on all phases of the theater industry, development, construction, financing, accounting, et cetera, et cetera. Every market in our business is different.
I'm sorry, Mr. Rausch, your time has expired. Could you wrap this, please?
That's fine, Mayor.
I have to be fair to all. I'm sorry.
Yes, I understand that. 21 minutes to Galaxy and 6 to me is not very fair.
We're not in a public hearing. We're considering a small item tonight,
right,
sir.
Okay. Thank you.
And you had considerable time at the last meeting, too.
City Council, George Schroff. I think Mr. Rausch's numbers have a great magnitude of difference between those numbers that have been reviewed in documents and speculation for the entire nation as well as our local community. And that reinforces the need for, you know, an economic study in this matter. I know when I'm listening to the box office tallies on a Monday morning, I'm listening to 5 movies, not 10 or 20. 5 movies, and mostly anything beneath that is bringing in a real low box office score. So the actual number of ticket sales in this community are not in any extraordinary amount that's going to really draw the numbers that he may be indicating. I thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. My name is Maggie Cox. I live in San Luis Obispo, and I'm a member of the Colony Square team. And I am here tonight on Mr. Rimkus's behalf from Galaxy Theaters to reiterate his offer to you that if you choose to go forward with an economic impact study, Galaxy Theaters is prepared to split the cost with the developer of the La Plaza program. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak?
You let one party speak the second time, so you'd allow anyone else.
All right. It's been suggested that we'll allow anybody that'd like to speak a second time to approach the podium.
That's okay. That's okay. That's all right.
This is going to be 3 minutes, guys.
Yes, Chuck Ward. I'll be brief. The comment was made that somehow the second theater is going to have all sorts of performances that perhaps can't be performed in the Galaxy Theater. Well, I question that, seriously. The Galaxy Theater will probably be one of the most modern movie theaters in the country. They're going to have the flexibility to do everything that Mr. Rausch has mentioned, and probably a heck of a lot more, because they're well-financed. So I don't consider that a valid argument. I also reject the fact that an economic study isn't going to show anything. I don't know how many people in this audience have been in the business world for 40 years. I have. Economic studies well done
are the pillar on which business decisions are made. You just don't dismiss them. That is not the case. Economic studies can reflect the economics and give us some very good answers. So I don't think you should just reject this out of hand. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ward.
The points that I, Len Colomarino, Atascadero, the points that I raised earlier, I want to come back to. Mr. Rausch sort of fleshed them out. What I was suggesting is taking a look at, a close look at Galaxy's position and finding out whether it's realistic that they may withdraw for the reasons that they've given and maybe other reasons. Galaxy has said, we have this study, we have this analysis, we're relying on it. Galaxy said they like to come into towns where they're the only game in town. Galaxy said they don't think that this is being done fairly. Ultimately, Galaxy has a business decision to make. Is it profitable enough to come to Atascadero, given the circumstances that may unfold with a second 10-screen multiplex nearby? Now, does Galaxy have the legal right to withdraw under its lease? That has to be looked at. But that's not the end of the analysis. I mean, I've represented a lot of companies over the years, and sometimes you get into a bad contract and you want to negotiate your way out of it. Sometimes it's cheaper to breach than to comply. Because if you're going into a situation that promises to be unprofitable for many years and you have other options where you can make a lot of profits in another community for that same number of years, the differential financially might justify breaching and trying to settle your way out, negotiate your way out of this losing contract. I've been in those situations as an attorney. So this is something that requires careful consideration. It's not a simple matter, and Galaxy's not facing a simple matter, I submit. So this is why I'm cautioning that this should be slowed down, take a very good look at what Galaxy's saying, and make a realistic analysis of what its options are and what its economic position is. And I don't think that's going to be influenced so much by some analysis that a so-called impartial or objective party might come in with. I think it's going to be influenced by Galaxy's own internal analysis and its options in other communities. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Colomarino has great points. If Galaxy can get out of their lease, if the economic study comes back and says two theaters can be successful, Galaxy is still going to get out of their lease because they're not going to be as successful as they want to be. You need to look, in my opinion, if you're going to require a feasibility study and someone's going to pay for it. I certainly would not want the city to pay for it. A lease study from Colony Square, you didn't require feasibility study from Galaxy. How do you know one theater can make it in this town? Why didn't you ask them to do their feasibility study? It is not a level playing field. In fact, the more it goes on, the more it's tilted in Galaxy's favor. They're here, and I'm down here. The project we're presenting to you is so important for Atascadero is why we want to do it. If you require the feasibility study, at least require it from the people that are going to make a fortune if I'm forced out. Oh, and I'm sorry, one more thing. The longer they delay this, you must remember that the Hoff property is up for sale. The Hoff family is not going to wait around forever. You wanted me to present deals with the property owners. My deal has to include, any offer I make to them has to include that the city will let me build a second theater. And they're not willing to make deals with me until you guys say I can build the theater. So delay it as long as you want, and you won't have La Plaza. That's up to you.
Thank you, Mr. Rausch. Last call for public comment. I'm closing the public comment and bringing it back for discussion. Councilmember Kelly.
I would just like to make the motion to, unless there is discussion, to bring the vote back. My intention was just to give me the opportunity to change my vote, and I think when they come back in 2 weeks to rehear the conditional use permit is the time that we can discuss some of the items that came up this evening. So with that in mind,
let's have discussion before we take the vote. Councilmember Burrow?
I
believe she was next.
Would you want me to go first?
I did have a finger up, but
okay.
I'll defer to you, Tom.
Well, it's been discussed that Galaxy has threatened to pull out. I don't know if you want to interpret their letter that way or not, but I know that Mr. Roush was going to do a theater, and we didn't get a letter. We just heard one day that he's not building a theater, and all I heard was maybe it's for financial reasons. Maybe things are easier in the financial world to get loans now for a theater. I don't know. But I think we need to hear from the banking community and know what the options are, for one. The original proposal for a second theater was, I heard, we would get a theater if we built the entire block. I think everyone would love to have two functioning theaters. One is critical. Zero is an economic disaster. My concern with the original proposal, which I think was great, we'll get a theater and the entire block will be built, because we also heard that a second theater would be viable. And with the entire block being built out, there's a lot of economic revenue that would be generated by the entire block being built out. Since then, we've heard that the project is decreasing in scope. We don't know exactly what that is. The new proposal will be something smaller, and it will also have, it has been challenged whether or not that's economically viable by the other theater. So as I said before, you got one watch, you know what time it is, you got two watches, you never know what time it is. We've got two differing opinions, and it does put us in a tough spot. We've got to respond to the theater. And so those are things we need to have answered. We don't know. We don't have that. So the thing that's before us, that's the first question for a CUP, is it economically viable? So I'm going to continue to support that we need to get this question answered. I would agree that normally the applicant pays. I would agree that the city should not pay. So I'm going to be recommending that we require the study and that the applicant pay. If they want to work out with the offer on the table that the other operator is offered to pay half, if they can come to an agreement on who does the study, that's fine with me. But that would be my position on this.
Thank you. Councilmember Bayrou.
Mr. Roush brought up a letter that I received today from the Central Coast Cinemas, and I needed to make some comments on this. I've been involved in city government for almost 8 years. I'm a healthcare professional. I am a business owner, and I know how to write letters. And these are my comments about his letter. The tone of his letter was unprofessional. It was slanderous and hypocritical in content. The city should not be interested in working with a person who utilizes intimidation, bullying tactics, and threats to get approval from a city. City government and leadership, which is us, should not be dictated by this blatant good old boy network and to only trust his word as a reason to approve a project, but by legitimate offers to cooperate, to provide planning documents, legal commitments to a project. That is how we do business as a city. At this point, there is nothing concrete to approve. I am all for redeveloping our downtown, and I want to see something happen, but there is nothing for us to approve. And so I cannot support moving forward on a project like this, and my decision will remain the same.
Thank you. Councilmember Clay was next.
Well, okay. Well, my concern is Mr. Roush keeps saying that he can't tie up the property without permission from us on the CUP. And, you know, I was in real estate, and, you know, you write an offer, you get an accepted offer, and it's contingent on on it can be contingent on the approval of the CUP, and I'm surprised that they haven't gone that route. For us to agree to something that that there's absolutely no contracts on the property, it's
you know, let's get back on the economic study.
Well, the economic study. First off, I'd like to ask the question: if we do an economic study, it's my understanding that that you can't disapprove a project based on economics. Is that right? Based on an economic study.
Well, the economic study could be warranted if there's a risk of blight.
Mm-hmm. But as far as us disapproving, let's say we do the economic study and they say that two theaters doesn't work and so on and so forth. We can't deny a project based on that study.
You could if the economic study would.
$7, $8, $9 million, and we're talking about $10,000, and I think we need to get it right. Galaxy has agreed to the $5,000 or half of it, and I'm sure if we could condition the CUP that they participate in the economic study as far as money is concerned, and I'm not too sure that the city shouldn't do it anyway.
Thank you. Councilmember Kelly?
Yes, my main concern this evening was the expenditure of $10,000, and like I said earlier, I think in 2 weeks, all the stuff that we're talking about, the other stuff, will come up at the hearing of the for the conditional use permit. And with that in mind, I know that when we come into the city hall behind closed doors, there's a big container there for people to drop off their little plastic bags because they say the bags are too expensive to buy to put up in the containers at the lake for the people to put the dog droppings in. And now we want to spend $10,000 on this study. I've been in business most of my life. I've been in the competitive development business for over the last 30 years. And competition is part of the game. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Good competition is good for everybody. And I've seen the numbers that have been presented by the Galaxy people, and I've seen the numbers that Mr. Roush has given us today. And I can sit down and analyze these, and if I have any questions, I can call people up and get some answers. I don't need to spend $10,000 to figure if it's going to work. It's a whole new project. I think they're on the cusp of something new, and we could be put on the map. But, you know, not to discuss that anymore. My main concern is the spending of the $10,000.
Councilmember O'Malley?
Well, with that, I will just make a motion for see if that gets us anywhere. I still think we need this economic analysis as one component of the CUP. We are charged with finding that any project will not create blight in the downtown area. This is a low-cost way to get the answer to that first question. That still means we have to address a lot of the CUP questions. But this might be a way to see if we're on the right track or not. And I think it gives the financial and banking community an opportunity to weigh in on this analysis as well. And all I know is from staff, when they did some preliminary research, it might cost up to $15,000 to do this study. That seems like a reasonable cost. I agree the city should not pay. It's normally a cost borne by the applicant. So with that, I move that we modify the existing motion to where we request the economic analysis as discussed before for a cost no more than $15,000 and it be borne by the applicant. If the applicant agrees to the conditions of the person offering to pay for half, that's fine.
I'll second.
Discussion.
Right. I think there ought to be some teeth in there in regards to.
An accusation has been made whether we are in conflict of interest. I'd like to get that clarified by the city attorney.
There is no conflict of interest.
Thank you.
Okay. I have gotten some opinions different to that. With that,
in mind, I think that a neutral third party or the both of the parties involved should be the ones who choose the people, not the city.
I agree. That was the offer.
Excuse me. Let's keep this in order.
Let's discuss this a little more.
I'd like you to get called on before you speak, please. Councilmember Clay.
A neutral party. I mean, what I would like to see is, I don't know how many consultants there are out there that do movie theaters. I'm sure that it's pretty sparse, but I would like to see it where we have a list. Both developers first get a chance to agree on someone to do it, and if they can't, then the city has to pick. I mean, if they can't agree on one, you understand where I'm coming from.
I do.
Mayor?
Yes, you may go ahead.
There is a motion on the floor. I'm going to modify it and withdraw that the city make the decision on the selection, and I will leave it to the applicant and Galaxy, who has an offer on the table. If they can agree, then they can go forward, and if they can't agree, they can bring it back to the city and say they're at a deadlock, and then we'll consider our options at that time.
Well, why don't...
Are you done?
Well, we should see if the second would accept that modification.
I'd rather have it be the city's final decision, because otherwise it's going to have to come back, and that will delay the process even longer.
Okay. Do you understand that, Tom?
I think we have a motion on the floor. Did you have a comment on that, Councilmember?
Well, yes, I wanted to be sure that, you know, the two developers first attempt to agree on a consultant to do the study, and if they can't, it doesn't have to come back to us, then city staff will make the decision. Is that what you...
If I could just clarify the mechanics, I think what I'm understanding is we'll assemble a list of potential consultants that could do this. We would provide that list to both. Hopefully we would end up with more than one consultant that both agreed to, and then we would try to do some process to gain a consultant.
But if they don't agree, then it's going to be up to you folks.
Okay.
Well, I have some concern about this, and I just would like to air it, that when I received Mr. Rausch's letter, I was very conflicted because it was completely different information that we had received from Galaxy, and the allegation towards the end of the letter was that the city had a conflict of interest because we had invested money into the Galaxy project. And I have a feeling that if we get involved in the selection process, we will be accused of having a bias on this. Let's say that they cannot agree. So I don't know how this can be brought to a resolution, but I think it's a lose-lose on the part of the city, which is one of the reasons I wanted to bring it back when Bob said I voted yes to reconsider this, because I believe the city's going down a slippery slope in terms of perceptions of those in the public if we take a position one way or another on this consultant. We want this to be the consultant that is ideally very unbiased one way or the other and makes an unbiased decision.
We could just see if that works.
I understand that. We could see if we just get to either one or multiple common people that they agree to, and then we would conduct a little process and make a recommendation to you on these are the agreeable. This is our recommended consultant. If we can't get to an agreement, how about we'll try to determine the top most qualified. We'll do a little bit of background information so we can provide you, and we'll bring it back to you, and you make the decision.
Well, and I think also we have in the past used the Economic Vitality Corporation and asked them to review. I think we did with an economic analysis at one time. So there might be other options to consider, but why don't we just try this and see if the two folks that have an interest can agree and move this forward. If they can't, they can bring it back to us. But we, at this point, are requiring an economic study.
Okay. Councilmember Bayrou?
Can we have our city attorney weigh in if there's anything he's not comfortable with?
Please do.
Yeah. There's been a lot of discussion, but I think there's still a lack of clarity on what the motion is. So if I could state what I've heard here most recently from Councilmember O'Malley, who's the maker of the motion, and if there's going to be a second, who that's going to be by, that the motion would be to request that the applicant and the Galaxy consult with each other to agree on an economic consultant with respect to an economic study, and that each would pay half of that cost, and that they report back to the city if they've been able to reach that agreement. And if they don't reach an agreement, then the city at a future meeting will decide what course of action to take. That's what I heard Councilmember O'Malley say.
Is that the way you made the motion? Is that acceptable?
That's acceptable.
Is that acceptable to the second?
It is, but I do have one problem that might come up. What if they don't agree to share the cost and it's only Roush who we've required to pay for it? Then there's no one balancing out the objectivity of who's doing the study.
If the applicant chooses not to do the study, I cannot make the finding that we cannot avoid economic blight, and that would be is one of the conditions of the conditional use permit.
Council Member Clay.
Yeah, Galaxy has already in a letter stated that they would pay for half the cost. Yeah. I know that's not...
But the applicant may choose still not to do it, or he may not choose to work with Galaxy on it. There's those choices.
I suppose.
The way that I'm hearing the motion is that, as I tried to restate it, that they'll consult. Either they're going to agree and advise us of the agreement on the terms of the retention of that consultant, and or they're not going to agree, and one or the other, and then the city will be advised in terms of whether they were able to agree or not, and that once you've been advised, then you can decide your next step.
Correct, and it could be...
Okay, I'm okay with that.
Okay, but here's what I'm hearing, folks, that... As a part of approval,
print theaters, specialty showings, performing arts centers, and with or without the performing arts center, yeah. Also,
would it be feasible just to vote tonight that the city is not going to spend the money on the study, and when it comes back in 2 weeks for the full conditional use permit, when we have both parties here, that it could be discussed a little bit closer? Mr. Rimpkus would be here. And in the meantime, Mr. Roush possibly could do a little bit more research, and they might even be able to get a hold of each other before the next meeting, before we really put, you know, some...
Would the maker of the motion like to table the motion or continue this to the next meeting?
My whole intent is to not the city to spend the $10,000 tonight.
And my motion will accomplish that, so I'll call the question.
Well, again, I want to ask the question is, are you basically stating that we won't approve the CUP without an economic study? Is that your motion?
What I understand is one of the conditions of a conditional use permit is we have to find that it will not create blight in the downtown. Is that correct?
Well, I might have to ask Mr. Frace to weigh in on this, but I believe one of the findings you need to make has to do with neighborhood compatibility, and that if the La Plaza project would potentially lead to blight, then there's a risk that it wouldn't be compatible, which is one of the findings that you would be required to make. But I'd like to perhaps have Mr. Frace comments on that.
I would agree with that.
I still don't have a yes or no.
Call the question.
I still don't have a yes or no.
Would you like to explain, or would you just want to call the question, Councilmember O'Malley?
We need more information before we can make the findings for a CUP. One way to get some of that information is this economic study. My motion is to require it.
Okay, thank you. That's what I wanted to hear.
Okay. Roll call vote, please.
Excuse me. I hate to belabor the point, but... Mr. O'Malley just said his motion.
You stated the motion.
Yeah, the motion is to require that, or to request, actually, that the applicant and Galaxy Theaters consult with each other, because you can't require them to do that, but to request that they do that, and that they determine through their consultation with each other whether they can agree on an economic consultant in terms of who that person would be and how that cost would be paid. And that they will then report back to the council at a future meeting as to whether they were able to reach agreement or whether they were not able to reach agreement, and that when that comes back to the council, you would then decide your next step.
I think that's going to be okay, but I'm going to ask the city manager if, having heard what our discussion, if you would word that differently. Are you thinking what the city attorney is defining as the best step at this point?
Well, I always think the city attorney is defining it at the best point. But I think that that is probably the most cooperative. I think that, the city attorney has turned it into a way for the two to work together to come up with a consultant as opposed to just to do that. But they would come up with their own, you know, potentially their own person outside of us. They would tell us who that consultant is that they both agreed on was able to do this study. Then we would develop agreements between the two parties so that they would pay us the appropriate amount that we would pay to the consultant, get you a report for the findings you're looking for.
Okay, very good. And this is, again, not to exceed $15,000, correct, Council Member O'Malley, maker of the motion? And second, yes. Very good. Call for the question.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Yes.
Councilmember Bayrou?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
No.
Councilmember Clay?
No, it's too complicated. I don't understand what we're doing.
Mayor Fonzie?
Yes.
Motion passes 3-2.
Thank you. Let's move on to another item, council announcement. This would, again, be Council Member Kelly, and this is regarding council norms and procedures.
Yes, I would just like to bring it up for consideration and possibly a motion to modify the council norms and procedures. I think the council meetings, if we get to 11 o'clock and we go past 11 o'clock, we have a vote to extend the meetings. I would like to add to the norms that that extension cannot go any more than 30 minutes. I know through my 7 years on the Planning Commission and from 2 weeks ago going to 1 o'clock in the morning, for those of us that work and get up early, I don't think at times we possibly do make the best decisions. And I know like Ellen has to get up early in the morning, and I would like to open that up for discussion and possibly make a motion to add that to the norms.
I have a question for staff. I believe the City Council has the ability to adjourn the meeting at any time if they choose to, so there's no limitation that we have to go to the end of the agenda. If we get tired, we can do it at any time. Is that correct?
That's correct, and I think in the terms of a long meeting, I don't mean to make this meeting longer, but in terms of a long meeting, often you have asked me what has to get done and what you could put off, so we certainly could do that. We're normally in favor of voting no at 11 o'clock.
Well, I was going to say, I think this current council, we've only gone past 11 once, or is it maybe twice? Not too often, but it is our choice. I think we are bound by Robert's Rules of Order, where you can always, we could move to adjourn after we open.
We're not bound by Robert's Rules of Order, but I'm not in favor of changing the system at all.
So
I would like to suggest that the council try to keep their comments more brief and perhaps not pontificate from the podium, and we could make these briefer altogether.
There you go.
But that's just my position. Council Member Bayrou?
I could support Mr. Kelly on this because, you know, these council norms are not laws. They're just general guidelines that we go by. And I think if it's written down that maybe we'll be more sensitive to it and staff will be more sensitive to it and we'll come up with agendas that aren't quite so long, and we will remind ourselves that we really need to wrap it up because we all want to try to cram things in and we tend to keep. Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
No.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
No.
Mayor Fonzie?
No, and I'd like to state for the record because we can adjourn anytime we need to.
Yes.
Motion fails 3-2.
Thank you. Let's move on. Are there any other council announcements or reports? Council Member,
I just wanted to bring up that the bike plan is underway, and there is a meeting on Thursday night at 7 o'clock in Conference Room 4, which is across from the council chambers, And I know it was kind of quickly put together, and there hasn't been a lot of spread on that information, so I wanted to announce that and encourage people to come and give input on the plan as it's being developed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I'd like to make my appeal again for folks to eat at our restaurants here. The lady that got up and spoke stated that when she was at Walmart, they usually ate in Paso, and I hope the people out there that go out of town, work out of town, go to the movies out of town, we'll take the short drive back to Atascadero. We've got some great restaurants. We need to support them. And I understand Cal Grills is possibly going to move, and we're looking forward to that. So eat in our restaurants, folks. Stay out of them restaurants in San Luis Obispo and Paso, please.
Thank you. And I don't know whether this is the appropriate spot, so pull me back, staff, if I do this incorrectly. But I have had a call and emails from a lady named Alana Reynolds regarding a second unit, and she would like to have this put on a council agenda. I'd like to have a discussion whether this would be something we'd like to hear or we would not.
I've been in contact with her also, and I relayed the information that was relayed to me from city staff that there is really no appeal format, I believe, at this time for fee structures, although I think Mr. McKinney can back me up on this. In June or July, those fees may be altered, and at that time she has the option to pick her permit up under a new fee structure if we approve that.
You'd prefer to wait?
Sounds good.
I would think we might have one other. Okay, you haven't thought about it. Well, I think we have perhaps one other option, and we may need some staff information. If she were to designate that unit as an affordable unit, we might be able to gain something back on that and perhaps could reconsider for certain circumstances. But I would be in agreement that we need to reconsider the full fee structure, possibly.
I think all second units are considered affordable units.
Excuse me?
I think most second units are considered affordable units. But
yeah. I think that may be true. Yeah. I don't know.
It is true.
Okay, very good. So I think we're tabling this, if I'm following by consensus, to be discussed when we discuss the fees. All right.
Just to clarify, I'm sorry to interrupt, but mm-hmm. Councilmember Kelly was right. This is one of the things that we're including in your next council meeting's zone code amendment potentials that you have an opportunity to look at.
Great. Thank you. Any committee reports? Let's start at the end. Councilmember Clay.
No.
Councilmember O'Malley.
Well, briefly, I did
briefly.
And without further interruption.
Thank you.
The Regional Transportation Authority was asked by our local hotelier pushing on that. Thank you all for supporting me when we were at our recent meeting with Caltrans, and they are looking into that more. So we should keep on them on that.
Very good. I would like to report that I met with the Air Pollution Control District, and this is regarding particulate matter, in other words, dust on the Nipomo Mesa that originated at the Oceano Dunes from off-road vehicles. And the decision was made to have a memorandum of understanding with the state parks to try to find ways to mitigate the dust. So at this point, we have no report, but they're working towards one. Councilmember Kelly? Councilmember Bayrou? Very good. Are there any individual determinations or actions? Anything from staff that we need to know
no
before
report.
Adjournment? Meeting is adjourned, 10:15.